about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey! Let's get this party started!
No.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Okay, let's do some improvisational comedy.
I can't now, Liam. It's a bad toilet.
Let's do some improvisational comedy. No.
Okay.
Give us a scenario.
You're a hypochondriac and Ricky's a doctor.
Excellent. Okay. Knock, knock.
Come in.
Hello.
Oh, no, not you again.
I've never been here before.
Sorry, I thought... because you're a hypochondriac, you would have been to the doctors before.
Don't presume. That's a backstory we didn't agree on beforehand.
No, no. That's improv, though, isn't it? You sort of go with the flow.
I don't take notes.
Okay.
Can we go again?
Yep.
Because you ruined that.
Sorry.
And now, take two, our feature presentation.
That show is awesome, by the way.
I've only seen that first episode, so I'm too behind. But I will tell you, the scene with Ricky Gervais and... Liam Neeson is one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television.
It is the most bizarre thing.
His improv is
Liam Neeson comes in and says he wants to do comedy, starts talking about having AIDS, and then everybody's like, whoa, that's not funny at all.
Right.
I don't take notes.
And every scenario he comes up with, he goes right back to having AIDS. Hey, speaking of having AIDS,
well, that's a transition I hadn't hoped for.
Speaking of having AIDS, when I saw that Lisa May wasn't sitting in her chair, I thought the worst. What's going on?
Well, apparently, I thought, you know, because she's been losing her voice all week, I figured maybe, you know, she lost it and she was not going to be able to work today. Mm-hmm. But apparently she decided that she would, on the way in, she wanted to spend some extra time with our men in blue. So she wanted
So she's playing with the Dodgers?
She's visiting with police officers.
Oh, okay.
That's what's happening.
Her choice or their choice?
Well, it's unclear at this point. I think it's their choice.
Oh, she got a ticket?
Well, I believe so.
Lisa.
Yeah.
If
Lisa can't get out of it, who can?
Seriously. I hope she puts them on the glass.
Well.
She's got him. It would be criminal to not use them.
She'd be here by now if she did.
Yeah, that's true.
So much beef.
That's so sad.
Yeah. I find it funny.
Something about I know you're always full of glee when coworkers get tickets, and I've never understood that because I feel really bad for the person who gets the ticket.
Yeah, I don't know why it cracks me up, but it does. It's not that I don't know it sucks for her. It's just funny to me that it happens.
Why? Why is it funny to you?
I don't know. I can't tell you that.
I feel bad for
her.
It
makes me laugh.
It's funny to Kevin because it happens to Kevin all the time.
Correct. That might be part of it, but I deserve it, so it's not like I think she deserves it, but
yeah,
that is,
well,
that's
comedy. She's not going to be all pissy when she gets here
like
they do.
Oh, there she is. How about that? Hey, police is Lisa May.
Let's get her on the headset. Let's find out what's going on here.
How about that?
All right, let's take a guess, Kevin, while she's getting set up. How fast was she going?
All right.
Or how many? Let's say we don't know what street she was on, so how many miles above the limit was she going? Let's take a guess.
I'm
going
to say 17.
Ooh,
17.
Good
guess.
17
go
what?
Miles
over the limit.
Hold on.
I'm going to go 13. I'm going to say 13 because her little Prius can't go much faster than that. How about you, Muggs?
I'm going to say 20.
All right, Lisa, how much over the speed limit were you going?
Let's see.
25.
Which
wow.
I didn't think. I thought it was about 15.
Wow.
Sweet. You did deserve that ticket.
But I would like to thank Officer M of the Wilshire Station for pointing out that I had a broken headlight, which I did not know.
Okay.
Oh.
And giving me a warning.
Yeah.
That's why you got. Wait. That's why you got pulled over?
Technically.
So you didn't get a ticket for speeding?
No.
Oh,
you were going 25 miles over the limit and you didn't get a ticket?
Well, that was an estimate. That's probably not how
fast
I was
going.
It was probably like 5 miles over
the
limit.
Oh, it's so good to be a girl.
They were so nice.
It's so good to be a girl.
We were speculating, Lisa, and we could only guess because you weren't here yet, but did you put them on the glass? Is that how you got out of it?
Well, you can see I am not dressed to put them on the glass.
No.
I'm layered.
That would have been a 50-minute process.
Storm.
Just a minute, cop. I got to undress.
They were just extremely kind. And I hardly ever get pulled over, number one.
True.
I probably should. But I don't know what the deal is this morning, though. I saw six officers on my way to work. I saw
six.
One.
Were they all looking for you?
Two on the freeway. Two after I got the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
One before I got the ticket, and the one who gave me the ticket.
Wow.
So, you know, slow down.
But the ticket. When you say the ticket, you mean just the fix-it ticket.
The fix-it ticket.
That's not a ticket.
Which, by the way, I think is I think that's common procedure is just a fix-it ticket, right? For a headlight.
Agreed.
Out.
Yes.
I doubt.
That's not why they pulled me over.
No. They pulled you over because of the speeding.
Yeah, she was speeding. They let her off for that.
Yes, they did.
How
and
about
I'm going to slow down. I am.
Sure you are. That'll last a day.
No,
that'll last one day.
I am.
So, Kevin, does that suck all the joy out of what you were feeling?
It sort of does. Why does it make me happy that you got a ticket, do you think?
Because I yell at you for speeding every day.
That could be, yeah. Yeah, she does yell at me every day for speeding. So that does when it gets turned around and she gets the ticket. And that is funny.
It's joyous.
But she didn't get the ticket, so she wins.
Congratulations, Lisa. Don't you feel like you got a new lease on life today?
I do. I mean, I was going to accept my punishment with grace. I knew that I did bad. And it's just those stupid lights. If you don't
lights.
Oh, my God. If you go the speed limit, it's timed. And at 5 in the morning, there's nobody. Nobody.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than coming up to a stoplight when you can't see a car to your left, right, forward, behind. There's not another car in sight.
And at 35 miles an hour, you hit every single light.
So you go 70.
No lights.
Beautiful. It's quite a plan.
But like apparently I'm changing my plan to leave earlier.
Oh.
That's now my new plan.
No, what they're telling you, in effect, is it's okay.
No, I don't think that's at all what they were telling me. Slow down.
All right. Well, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Dog, you got to stay with me. I'm moving very fast today. Come on.
We have Adam Carolla on the program today.
Hey.
Speak in Rage. You walked on hot coals. We were talking about this yesterday. Some of these motivational speakers, Tony Robbins was the one that came to mind, who talks about how it's mind over matter, and they put a little giant bed of coals out there, and you walk on them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? A. And B.
And
why?
How? Be how.
See how.
But they run across them. It's not like they're strolling. So couldn't I, without all the mind stuff that they do, run across them
as
well?
That's my point. Exactly.
We can
try
it.
The whole thing is BS.
You think it's all made up, Bean? Like anyone could do it?
Absolutely. Anyone could do it without spending 1 minute of the Tony Robbins getting you psyched up for mind over matter. I think that's irrelevant. I really do.
We also have somebody who's going to tell us about Ultimate Taser Ball.
That sounds like your kind of game.
Add a taser to any game and you've got something.
You got fun.
Sure.
Yeah. So we have that coming up as well. We have Joe Rogan. Comedian Joe Rogan in the studio today.
Awesome.
Love him so much. He's going to tell us what new animals are going to kill us now. He's usually obsessed with something like that. I don't know if you've seen Kate Upton's commercial for Carl's Jr.
I did, actually.
She's rather hot.
She's having sex with a hamburger is what she's doing.
They
pretty
do good
much.
Commercials.
They do good commercials.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Are they? They're the ones that did the turkey, Miss Turkey, right?
I believe so.
Which was also fantastic.
Yeah.
But so we're going to talk about that today. There's a group that's very upset about that. A group that thinks it's too sexy. And I don't think that category exists.
Well, you can't have attractive women on TV selling products, Kevin. That's the end of civilization right there.
And we have your tickets for April Foolishness coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
Awesome.
Which those tickets go on sale today at noon, by the way. I'm sorry, today at 10. Today at 10. So go to krock.com and make sure you're a street team member. You got to get the little passcode, and then you can buy them at 10 o'clock. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio now on the Kevin and Bean Show for the Showbiz Beat. Have you met Lisa, who just does whatever she wants out there on the road? It's just like the world is her oyster, just drives in whatever she wants.
Scofflaw May, is that what you mean?
Yeah,
I've met Scofflaw.
That's a bad nickname.
It is.
Scoffy. We'll call her Scoffy.
I like that.
She's just out there every day just you know, beating up kids and kicking puppies and just spray painting all over windows. Just whatever she wants. She just has complete immunity.
She's an outlaw. She's like a biker. She's like one of the Sons of Anarchy. She does what she wants. She just goes around spitting on people and smoking cigarettes. She's got cigarettes rolled up in her sleeve, carrying keys. She's just a bad egg. That's what she is.
She pushing old people in wheelchairs downstairs. Yeah. Just whatever she feels like. Yeah. No regard for the rest of society.
I said to her, what are you rebelling against, Lisa? And she said, what do you got? It's like, wow, she's a bad egg.
All right, the controversy over the latest Kate Upton commercial. She, of course, of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And there's somebody who's complaining about her Carl's Jr. commercial. What's up with that? We'll discuss
filthy. That's
on the way.
Filthy.
First, though,
it's fantastic filthy.
Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Let's get into it, shall we? Beyonce. caught this week breastfeeding her baby.
No.
How dare she? Everyone's all in a tizzy because she was out for lunch in New York City's West Village with her husband, Jay-Z, last weekend, and she nursed her table. Excuse me, nursed her daughter at the table.
The whole table.
Be like cooler if she nursed the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone gets some. You need some for your milk? What do you have, coffee? Yeah, cappuccino?
There you go.
Yeah, everyone's all skeeved out because she was breastfeeding at the table. Look, she's a mother who has a newborn baby. That's how you feed them.
Yeah,
they're
odd.
Just breasts. I know it's Beyonce. I get it. But they're just boobs, and the kid needs to eat. And just look the other way if it bothers you. Stop it.
I don't
Stop
know why
it,
this
America.
Is still such an issue.
I don't either.
Because it's 2012 and we're debating whether women should be allowed to be on birth control. That's why,
yeah,
Lisa. Because
right.
We live in a crazy, upside-down country.
Look, I understand that breasts have been sexualized and we love them on women and they're very...
I like boobs. Big boobs.
But that's the after effect. That's the cherry on top of the cake. You know?
Correct.
The cake is they're made to feed kids. That's the real reason. So stop it. It's craziness.
Yeah. When we're the voice of reason,
is anyone
wrong.
Wigged out by a woman no. breastfeeding a child in a public place?
No.
I love it.
Well, you do because you
chance to get a peek. Are you kidding me?
You're the creep master general.
Yeah, but if she's going to walk around with her boobs out,
can you
I'm
imagine
not stop
Bean
her.
Walking around with his camera?
Yeah, really.
Hold it up.
I'm a baby.
Creepy alert.
Baby needs num nums.
I'm the opposite of those people who are turned off by it. I'm turned on by it.
Ugh. Oh. Ugh. I just had a shower and I feel like I need another one.
I need
one.
Another one too as well.
While we're talking about babies, we now know the name of Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck's new baby. Their third child and first son will be named Samuel.
That's a very nice name.
Oh, they're not doing their part as celebrities then.
Samuel. It's just a regular real name.
It's too normal of a name. Celebrities are supposed to name their kids something honked up.
Little Sam. Little Sammy. Little Sammy Affleck. Samuel Garner Affleck is his name. So, welcome to the world, Samuel. Just a regular little name.
I wish Jennifer Garner would quit having kids and go back to work, though.
Yeah, I miss her, too.
It's been a long time.
Of course, though, when she does work, she does Arthur. So, look, maybe we wanted to have more kids. It's hard to tell. New relationship news. Taylor Swift has a new boyfriend. If you believe the rumors.
I wouldn't want to be her boyfriend.
Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow?
No.
Yes.
No,
she's Tebowing. No. She's Tebowing. She's doing this. Doing that. Just saying.
That's an interesting way of Tebowing.
She's a GCB.
GCB.
Good Christian Bell.
Okay. All right.
You seen the ads for that new commercial?
I didn't
on
know
Navy?
What he
yeah.
stood for.
I
didn't
know what it
yeah. Sunday, yeah.
And he, of course, is a good Christian QB.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot going on. Huh. Spotted having dinner together in an Italian restaurant in Century City, California on Monday.
She is one of those tabloid favorites, though, who, if she's ever in a photograph with somebody, they automatically have a story that they're dating.
That's because she's a legendary whore.
I don't know that that's
who just
true.
Bangs her way through Hollywood. Anybody, any port in a storm, Swift, that's what they call her. Eddie Murphy and Toni Braxton have been secretly dating for the last 5 months.
She's something.
She is very something. And he, of course, very successful. Oh, that 1,000 words. Anybody? 1,000 words? His new movie?
Is that another
didn't
movie
see that.
Of his?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't see that
That's
yet.
A bizarre concept,
Where did you see
it?
That trailer?
Bad.
He's only got 1,000 words left. But when he uses those up, he dies. But he's a guy who likes to BS, and he talks all the time. He's like a con man. So he has to use his words very carefully. He can't use those words, and he has to learn what's important to him through 1,000 words.
Why is he going
to
die?
I don't know. It's some magical spell. Yeah. It's I don't know. It's madness. Madness!
So he does a lot of, basically waving his arms around and pointing at things.
Exactly,
to get his,
yes.
his message across.
He has
right?
to mime everything. Language. He's got to mime everything to get people to understand what he's
right,
talking
that's good
about.
For a 5-minute sketch on Saturday Night Live.
Not even.
Now what?
So we got that going for us. And I don't know if you saw the photo that Gwyneth Paltrow posted of her at the Vanity Fair party after the Oscars.
Did not.
She put it up on Facebook and Twitter. It's a shot of her in between two of her favorites, Steve Martin and Martin Short. Mm-hmm. Very funny guys. She's got a picture of them with her arms around them. And the caption read, "Dude, seriously, I love my life." Steve Martin later posted the photo on his Twitter feed with the caption, "I hate my life." No word on whether Gwyneth was offended or not, but everyone thinks Steve just meant it as a joke.
So. That's funny.
And if you want to watch the Today Show, you can see Lindsay Lohan. She'll be stopping by this morning to sit down and talk with Matt Lauer. He'll be interviewing her about her recent legal problems, but mostly to plug her gig on Saturday Night Live this week, where she will be the host.
Are you going to bring in some highlights of that, since none of the rest of us watch that?
Yeah, you watch Saturday Night Live. Why don't you bring some in?
If there's something.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely watch it. Yeah. You would have appreciated this, Ralph. They did a very funny piece, not intended to be funny, intended to be sad and to spotlight that Lindsay Lohan is a big fat liar who's unreliable. But they did a montage of all of her interviews back to back where she says, "I used to party, but now I'm clean and now I'm over and I'm not interested in that anymore and I don't do that anymore and I've completely changed." 2007, then 2008, 2009, 2010, all the way up to the clip they released from the Today Show interview that airs today.
That's hilarious.
Billy Bush is like, yeah, she's not really the most reliable at telling us she's turned her life around. So we'll see.
That's classic.
She's only 25, by the way, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, it's still time. Wow. She still has time to turn her life around. And Dane Cook is getting a new sitcom on NBC.
All right.
NBC has cornered the market on crappy comedy. Congratulations, NBC. We got Chelsea Handler, you got Whitney Cummings, and now you got Dane Cook. You've got the triumvirate. He is going to be starring as a radio DJ.
All right.
In Next Caller, Please. He will be the co-host of a male-female satellite radio show, which originates in New York. And he'll have, I'll tell you something. He and that female co-host, they don't get along. They're like cats and dogs, the way they scrap.
And then they take a caller.
I wonder if there's any sexual tension between the two of them. You've just seen the show. No need to watch. Today's celebrity birthdays, Roger Daltrey, lead singer of the legendary band The Who, 68 years old today. Alan Thicke from Growing Pains fame, 65. Dad, of course, of Robin Thicke. Actor, director, Ron Howard, 58 years old today. Actor Tim Daly is 56. Javier Bardem.
Friendo.
He is 43 years old. Jensen Ackles from Supernatural is 34. Kesha turns 25 years old today.
Wow, where's she been?
It's a big day for talentless boneheads. Justin Bieber turns 18 years old today.
He gets all his money.
That's right.
Yep.
And my buddy Mark Paul Gosler from NYPD Blue and Saved by the Bell and Franklin and Bash. Always working, that guy. 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All I'm saying is less than 4 hours from right now, tickets will have gone on sale for the Kevin Amin April Foolishness 2012. April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater, an all-star night of comedy, including our friends Jay Moore and Eddie Izzard, and just a phenomenal lineup. Street team members can buy their tickets at 10 o'clock this morning. Go to KRock.com. Make sure you are signed up. Make sure you get the password so that you can buy your tickets, because they may never go on sale to the public. This thing may sell out to street team members, and it is free and very quick to register. So good luck getting your tickets.
All right, let's talk about this Kate Upton commercial for Carl's Jr. that is maybe, perhaps, the best commercial that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay.
She's sitting at a drive-in, and she starts eating the hamburger, and she loves that hamburger. I'll tell you that.
The Southwest patty melt with jalapenos, pepper jack cheese, and spicy Santa Fe sauce.
She's riding around. Love burns you up the most. I mean, she likes it more than most people like hamburgers.
Yeah, she is. And first of all, she's the hottest chick in the world.
Correct.
If you don't know who we're talking about, Kate Upton, she's on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue right now. She's 19 years old, a model from Michigan, who just, you can't believe how ridiculously hot she is.
Second and all, if you want to see the commercial that we're talking about, you go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. We put the commercial up as a public service, so that you could see what we're talking about. That's the only reason.
You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Give.
KevinandBean.com. You can watch this and many other commercials that are pretty
sexy. Second of all, she goes to the drive-in by herself,
right,
and she's having this giant Carl's Jr. burger that looks delicious, and she just is practically orgasmic over the food that is in her mouth. And she is sweating, and she's writhing around in the back of the car, and she's eating a little and then sexing it up a little and eating a little and sexing it up. And I saw that commercial, I thought, well done, good job.
Me nice, too. Nice effort. I applauded by myself. I'm like, yeah, good work.
And then we caught wind of this report that aired on KNX AM 1070 about a protest, about somebody complaining and asking Carl's Jr. to pull the ad for being too sexy.
What?
Do you want to live in a world where that commercial isn't on your TV? I don't.
No, that's the best commercial ever. Remember they had Kim Kardashian before they had her on the bed eating the Carl Jr. Yeah, this is the report that Bean's talking about with the guy who wants us to pull that commercial.
The founder of New Life Ministries says a Carl Jr. ad featuring model Kate Upton goes too far.
A guy just sitting there watching a program, and it's a hamburger ad, and all of a sudden, you know, it's somebody having sex with a hamburger.
And Steve Arterburn says Carl's Jr. should do the right thing and pull the plug on the ad. But corporate spokeswoman Beth Mansfield says the sexy burger commercial is being well received by its intended audience.
Really?
What we do at Carl's Jr. is to target a very specific audience with our advertising, and that's young, hungry guys, men 18 to 34 years old.
Yeah, it's right exactly perfectly where it should.
Mm. I love the way she says young, hungry guys, too, by the way.
She was the first person to sound like a human being, too. That reporter sounded like a robot, the guy that was protesting.
Hey, K&X guy.
Thank you for whipping the crowd into a frenzy.
So Steve Arterburn, the founder of New Life Ministries in Laguna Beach, is the guy that we heard in that piece. He says the ad is dangerous because there are people, Kevin, who are watching who may be trying to overcome sexual addiction, and it's too much temptation to see that on their TV. They should be able to watch TV and not be aroused is what his complaint is.
It is a lot of hot, and it is very sexy. But until we're worried about Fatty sitting on the couch watching a commercial for every single restaurant, go back to your hole.
Well, apparently Mr. Arterburn is not the only one complaining about this Carl's Jr. commercial. Producer Dave has lined up Daniel Smigel for us from the AARP. Mr. Smigel, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, the AARP, that's the American Association of Retired Persons, right? So you deal with issues for the elderly?
No. It's a common mistake people make. We're with AARP, which is Americans Against Real Life Porn.
Oh, I see. Okay,
a lot of people get us confused, and maybe we should consider changing the name of our organization.
They're the
we
same.
Keep getting their mail, and it's very uncomfortable, and we have to just forward it to them.
They are the same. You do have the same letters as they do.
We do. When you say AARP, people's minds immediately jump to walkers and oxygen tanks.
So you're upset about real-life porn.
That's right. It's bad enough that good Christian Americans need to try to go out of their ways to avoid pornography.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're giving it to us in real life. We can't even watch television without being bombarded by pornographic images.
Isn't it great?
No, it's not great, sir. I would say, in fact, if I were to be asked, it's the opposite of great. It's great.
That's the opposite of great?
As far as I know.
Mr. Schmeichel, there's no actual sex going on. She doesn't show any body parts that can't be seen on TV.
What's implied, sir, I think is even worse than actual sex. It's the filth that creeps into your mind and it allows your imagination to run in bad directions.
Go to our website and look at the commercial again. I think you might see it in a different light.
I don't want to see the commercial any longer. I've seen it several times.
We put it up so people could see what you're talking about.
I had to take several neti pots to my nasal cavities just to cleanse that commercial from my head.
So what kinds of commercials should be airing then if it's not sex?
This poor young woman that they've just obviously talked into it, just making lewd gestures with food in front of a camera.
How do you know she doesn't love it?
Because she's being exploited by her supple young body and her incredible breasts.
Hello?
Hello, I'm sorry.
You all right?
She's eating a hamburger.
Right.
Oh, okay. Oh, subliminal message here. What's a hamburger? Oh,
food?
Hot meat between two buns. That's right. That's what Carl's Jr. is trying to sell us. Not a hamburger, but meat in between the buns.
Wow, you sound... You all right?
I'm okay.
Okay.
And also on that burger, what do you find? Pickles? Hello.
Yeah, there's pickles.
Hello, Mr. Pickle, which is much like a penis.
But it isn't.
Have you ever seen a pickle? Have you ever seen a pickle?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a young woman take a pickle and rub it gently over her lip?
No, but I would love it.
You ever see a woman take her tip of her tongue and flick it across?
Oh, I would love that so much. That would be so good.
Filth! And I will not be subjected to it on my television, sir.
She's eating a hamburger. They're selling burgers. Look.
What else is on that burger? I wonder. Mayonnaise?
It's just mayonnaise.
What message is Carl Jr. sending?
It's mayonnaise.
Dripping from the sides of the buns with her meat inside of them.
Okay. You are way creepier than anything in this Carl's Jr. commercial, Mr. Spiegel.
Not to mention this is for their jalapeno burger.
Yes, there are jalapeno peppers on it, and that seems to be making her hot. Yes.
Peppers or penises? It sounds very similar to me.
It doesn't sound the same at all.
Pepper, penis?
No, it's no, not. They both just peppers.
Penis?
They both start with the letter P.
Indistinguishable, sir.
Go to the website and watch it one more time.
And then she finishes it off by drinking from a straw.
Yes.
Oh, the fluid rushing through the lungs, oh, cylindrical my straw.
Okay.
Now
you
I
know
understand
what?
Your stevious intent, Carl I Jr. Think I will not rest until my penis does.
Okay. You've got more troubles than they do, sir. Thank you for joining us. Nice. Needed. Well done.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Brad Williams, Tim Minchin, Eddie Ift, Jim Jeffries, Felipe Esparza, Bob Saget, Larry King, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, and the April Foolishness house band Cleto and the Cletones. They'll all be there on Saturday, April 7th for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012. You want to win your tickets? You think it's going to be easy? Guess again.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Hey, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
You and Mrs. Announcer Man need a good night out of comedy and laughs. I think this is going to be a great event for you to take the wife to, April 7th.
The wife is always laughing at home.
Oh, okay.
Sadly, it's in the bedroom.
Oh, that's a shame.
What you want?
Hey, this game is not easy or is easy. I can't remember.
It's the hardest game of the world.
Oh, how's it work?
What we'll be doing is announcing the names of comedians that will be playing at the April Foolishness Show. All you need to do is identify the name of the comedian. Oh, I almost forgot. We'll be playing them backwards.
Yay!
That doesn't sound easy at all. All
it's
right,
who's
our first contestant?
First up is Steve. He's a lab tech.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you. Ready for your clue backwards?
Let's do it.
It's his name.
Sveine.
One more time. You get to hear him twice each, people.
Sveine.
Eddie Ift?
Yes. Eddie Ift.
Yes, Steve!
Going to a drawing?
Yes, you are in the drawing. Somebody in less than 5 minutes will win those tickets. Eddie Ift kind of sounds the same forwards as backwards, Mr. Announcer Man.
It sure does, Bean.
Who's next?
Next up is Jason. He works for DirecTV. Oh, I love my DirecTV.
Hey, Jason. Hello, Jason.
Yeah, how's it going?
Sorry good to wake you up, dude. Just doing a radio show.
It's going good. Now, we're going to play this twice backwards. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Smiley.
One more time.
Smiley.
Not very easy.
Jay Moore.
Sorry.
Brad Williams.
Brad Williams.
Yes. Nice try.
Which
although
backwards
not really
sounds like small little turd.
Don't make fun of him because he's height challenged, Mr. Announcer
like
Man. Come on.
Small little turd.
I think small little are the least offensive of those three words.
Small little turd.
Who's next?
Next up is Rick. He's a business consultant. Help me with my business.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
You ready for your name, your comedian name?
Let's do it.
Here you go.
There's it. Hit it.
One more time.
There's it. Hit it.
Is it Eddie Izzard?
Eddie Izzard.
Done. All right, hold on.
Great.
All this
right,
isn't that hard, by the way. This
it's
sort of
actually not. Yeah.
It's not the hardest game.
Right,
world.
But it's close.
It's difficult.
Yes.
It's one of the games that is actually difficult. It's a 5 on the scale of hard. Next up is Matt. He works for UPS. What can Brown do for you?
Mr. Announcer Man.
Fuck, guys.
Are you ready, Matt?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
See your fashion commission.
One more time.
See your fashion commission.
Felipe Esparza.
Jim Jeffries.
It is hard.
Okay, it's hard. It's a 6 then.
Next up is Anton. He's in construction. Yeah.
Anton.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your comedian's name?
I am. Happy Mark Chicka Bow Bow.
Oh, nice callback. Well
Thank
done.
You. Nicely done. Here you go.
Throw he has.
One more time.
Throw him. He has.
Ooh.
Oops.
I'm going to go with Jay Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay
it's
Moore.
Easier when Kevin plays it for you.
I only played the J.
All right, you are in the drawing. Congratulations, Mr. Announcer Man. We need to have time for one more contestant.
Let's have a lady then. How about Caroline? She works for a software company. Sweet Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your act?
Yes.
There you go.
How's your upset? Yeah, be love.
One more time.
How's your upset? Yeah, be love.
Is that Felipe Esparza?
Felipe Esparza.
He's got a lot of syllables in his name. All right, well, we did pretty well today. We got Steve, we got Rick, we got Anton, we got Carolyn. Lisa May, only one can win tickets. Who is it?
It's Carolyn.
Carolyn, the very last person we talked to. Congratulations, Caroline.
Thank you.
Good times never seem so good.
Sometimes things are very simple, Lisa. Sometimes you only need two words, and you know I am in. I will go. I will do it. I will be there. I love it. Like free drinks, for instance. You hear the words free drinks. You don't need to know anything else. All you know is free drinks. I'm in. I'm there. Right?
Yep.
Well, that's how we felt when we heard these words put together for the first time just last week. Ultimate Taser Ball. Sign me up.
In. There's a league. Did you know that?
No.
I did not. I knew nothing about Ultimate Taser Ball until last week, and now I just can't believe how have I been able to live my entire life without it? It's the greatest idea ever.
There's a league created by Eric Prum, and he's on the phone with us. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You're calling us today from Thailand, right?
Yeah, I'm calling you from a hotel in Bangkok, Thailand. We're having a premier event tomorrow night. It's Thursday night here, so we're kicking off tomorrow night at the PAX Sports Complex. It's going to be a great time.
Now, you are American? You live in Southern California or where?
Yeah, our company is based we have offices in Southern California and New York City. I myself live in Manhattan, but I'm back and forth a lot.
Okay. Why is this game being played in Thailand this weekend? That seems a long distance for your players to travel.
Well, our guys are—they're used to travel. They've been playing the extreme sport of paintball for years. The majority of them. There is a paintball event out here this weekend, and we're sort of being hosted by that event. It's pretty awesome. There's people out here from Australia, from China, I guess, as far as Iran, from Singapore, Malaysia, and so we are.
Are you sure Thailand is not just being invaded? Tell us about Ultimate Taser Ball.
I don't think so.
Describe Ultimate Taser Ball for people who haven't heard about it.
UTB Live is a full contact sport using four stun guns, four players versus four players.
I'd just like to slow down right there and just interrupt you for a second and say four stun guns.
Yikes.
Part of the sport. Each team gets four stun guns.
Yes, sir.
All right, continue.
It's a lot of fun, man.
So then it's sort of like soccer that you can play with your hands, and the ball is about 20 times bigger than a soccer ball. It's a gigantic ball.
Yeah, it's 24 inches in dimension. What you can't see on the videos we've released is that it's like it's about two or three times as thick as a yoga ball, so it's kind of heavy.
Wow.
You can use it to block people off the ball. You can actually use it quite strategically. It creates offensive and defensive sets. The offensive player can't use his stun gun when he's got it because it's so large. It creates a lot of ball movement and actually increases the amount of times those guys end up getting stunned. So it's quite a bit of fun.
How strong are the stunners?
They're like 3 to 5 milliamps, so they're far below the amperage of something like a police-grade taser or stun gun.
Is it just annoying?
What does it feel like?
Does it
no, no, it's quite a bit more than annoying. Yeah, it's just enough to give you sort of like a localized muscle spasm, sort of like getting kicked and snapped with a rubber band at the same time.
Does it knock you down when you get stuck, when you get hit by it, Eric?
If you get hit in the right place and leg, you'll go down. But really the idea wasn't to incapacitate anybody. It was just to create something that would disrupt the gameplay, that would disrupt the flow of motion, so that, you know, it affects gameplay, both positively for the defender and negatively for the offender, but it's not going to put anyone down permanently.
Are there rules as far as how often you can stun somebody?
There's rules on like offensive and defensive stunning. If you're an offender, obviously you can't stun anyone. If you're in possession of the ball, you're fully
you know, putting yourself out there to get stunned.
You're open game,
there
right?
There are rules for malicious stunning, I guess. There's, you know, stuff you can't do, stunning in the neck, in the groin area, I guess, although it has happened. And
what do you get, like a penalty?
For that.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've got major and minor penalties. We keep a pretty tight crew out there, and we're really trying to promote this as a real sport. We're serious about it. It's a heck of a lot of fun to watch and a heck of a lot of fun for our professional athletes.
I'm looking at the London Olympics this summer.
Yeah. I don't know if you can get it together that fast, but that sounds great. All right, you can't tase in the neck. You can't tase in the groin. How about in the face?
No, not in the face. Anywhere above the upper chest area is no bueno.
Okay. Is there are there any long-term repercussions to being stunned repeatedly, week in, week out, dozens of times?
With the products that we're using, we've been assured that the answer is no. That being said, you know, we fully, you know, don't endorse anyone whatsoever to replicate or do what we're doing.
Because you're professionals.
Our athletes know exactly what they're getting into, and you know, it's all par for the course.
Now, there are four teams, the L.A. Nightlight, the Philadelphia Kilowatts, the Toronto Terror, and the San Diego Spartans. And this makes
That's
up
right.
the league?
No, there's four more teams. We're actually going to launch them out in Huntington Beach. We've been working with them for a couple of weeks. We're kind of waiting to release them. We want to sort of hype it up, and those guys will be there in Huntington. We should have our eight-team roster ready to rock there at the end of this month, I guess. It's March already, huh?
It is now March, right? We're going to keep an eye on utblive.com. So I'm hoping what you're saying is there will be home games in Southern California here soon so that our listeners can go out and watch this sport in person, right?
We're planning on having an event in the Huntington Beach area the last weekend of March / the first weekend of April. It's when these 31st to the 1st deals, I think.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you, Eric. This is not going to be the last time you hear from us here at K-Rock. We may need to get a K-Rock team together. I'm just saying, this sounds like a sport we need to be a part of.
It does.
I love this so much. Again, the website
I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure to have you. UTBLive.com. It's Ultimate Taser Ball. We've been talking to the co-founder, who is Eric Prum. Hey, good luck. Have fun in Bangkok, and say hi to the ladyboys for us, okay?
Ooh, won't do that, but thank you so very much. I appreciate the time on your station.
Adam Carolla joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Joe Rogan right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph Garman is here, it looks like, with late-breaking showbiz news on the Kevin and Bean Show for Thursday.
No, just getting my giveaways straightened away. Mm-hmm. I have tickets to give away to the very special K-Rock Advance screening of John Carter.
Yay!
Brand new film featuring John Carter. For those of you familiar with Edgar Rice Burroughs, who created Tarzan, also created the character of John Carter, who is a Civil War veteran who gets transported to Mars in order to become their freedom fighter and defend them against giant creatures that look like Khloe Kardashian. Horrible. It's hideous. If you'd like to go, we're having a special screening on March the 6th. The movie will be in theaters everywhere March the 9th. So if you'd like to go, call 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to attend the screening of John Carter with Taylor Kitsch. He's a good-looking fellow, that Taylor Kitsch.
Sure. Ladies love him.
Leonard Nimoy said he was retiring from acting. He lied!
He's back?
Oh. He's back. He is going to be performing on The Big Bang Theory at the end of March during the 100th episode. Which aired last month, Jim Parsons' character Sheldon finally got his life-size cardboard cutout, as he always wanted, of Mr. Spock, but was horrified to discover it wasn't the Leonard Nimoy version, it was Zach Quinto as Mr. Spock. So, in order to address that, they're having a Nimoy stop by the show, and he's going to be appearing on the show, which is appropriate because they love him on that show.
Sure.
That show, I don't know if you're watching it or not, but it's just so funny.
I've heard it is.
And especially if you're a geek, there's lots of geeky comedy, which is very entertaining. To my people...
Sure.
How I love my people. Lindsay Lohan will be stopping by on this this morning's Today Show with Matt Lauer. They'll be doing an interview with her to talk about her legal troubles, her addiction, and of course her job hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend because it's all NBC and they gotta keep in the family.
Sure.
By the way, the promos are calling this weekend's appearance, I don't know if you've seen them or not, Linsanity. Linsanity this weekend. It's going to be Linsanity.
I don't get it.
Anyone? That Jeremy Lin thing sure cooled off quick.
Yes, it did.
Right.
Scored a couple of buckets that won games, and now he's gone.
We're not talking about him much anymore. Taylor Swift, is she dating Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow? Well, they were spotted having dinner together in an Italian restaurant here in Los Angeles on Monday. Their agents claim they were just talking business, but everyone knows Taylor is a whore. So the odds are they're probably having sex under the table.
Yeah, I just want to thank my teammates and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right, for putting Taylor under the table.
She was T-Bowing, all right?
She was T-Bowing.
What kind of business could those two be discussing?
T-Bowing and then elbowing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
No, I don't either. And now we have a name for Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck's baby. Sam. Their first son will be named Samuel Garner Affleck.
That's too normal.
It's just
a regular name.
Just a regular old person with a regular old name.
They're not aware they're supposed to name their kid something effed up so he can laugh?
I guess not. They seem like a pretty stable, sort of grounded
couple.
So I can imagine they're not going to come up with, you know, anthracite or something like that for a name for their kids.
I mean, they had Violet, for God's sake.
Yeah, Violet's sweet. Serafina was the biggest stretch. That's out there.
Yeah.
And even that's going to be a Sarah for most of her life, I imagine.
Right. And Elvis is alive. I'm sorry, didn't you hear me? Elvis is alive.
Yeah, Costello? But that's the 1,000,000th time we've heard that.
He's sitting in a Florida jail cell. Actually, he's an Elvis impersonator, a 64-year-old Elvis impersonator named Michael Connelly.
What a loser.
He is the biggest loser. Wait till you hear what a big loser he is.
That's unbelievable.
He's an Elvis impersonator who, dressed as Elvis, locked himself inside a Fort Pierce, Florida motel.
Why?
Because cops came to arrest him on an outstanding warrant. So he's an Elvis impersonator dressed as Elvis, who the cops show up to pick up because he's wanted, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He barricades himself inside the motel room. As they approach him, he holds up a vial full of white powder, saying it's ricin, the poison that can kill a human instantly.
Yeah,
come any closer, I will smash this vial of ricin, and you will all perish, cops. Then
Elvis walked around with ricin. A lot of people don't know that, the real Elvis.
Yeah, ricin and banana sandwiches. Loved them. Then he opens up his jumpsuit, and he's got C4 explosives strapped to his body.
What?
This is danger, Elvis.
C4?
After a four-hour SWAT standoff, Elvis was taken into custody. The ricin turned out to be table salt.
Yeah.
The C4 was fake. It was modeling clay that he had molded into.
What's the point of all of that, then?
Now, Elvis says...
Yeah, did you think he was going to get away using that strategy?
Yes.
Really?
And he also claims, now, in retrospect, he blames his behavior on diabetes.
On diabetes?
Yes. He said his blood sugar was low. I apologize to the public. I was disoriented. Guess he was all shook up.
Okay, all right.
Man, file.
Come on! That old joke led up to that one! That was sweet!
Well, you'll have a chance.
Diabetes doesn't make you strap fake C4 to your chest.
Do you have diabetes?
Do you have diabetes? I don't
have
diabetes.
Then how do you know?
Well, I'll just say that a lot of people do have diabetes, and very few get involved in a standoff in a motel dressed like Elvis Presley.
Mary Tyler Moore just recently strapped dynamite to her chest.
I wasn't aware of that.
I don't think that's true.
Today's celebrity birthday is Roger Daltrey of the legendary band The Who is 68 years old today. Alan Thicke from Growing Pains, he's 65 years old. Ron Howard, who, of course, was Richie Cunningham on Happy Days, Opie on The Andy Griffith Show, now one of the most successful actor, director, producers in the business, 58 years old.
Check him out, child stars who complained that you got famous too young and then your life was ruined.
Yeah. Turns out, if you're handed everything, you can have everything.
Right.
Just don't be a douchebag. Of course, it helps if you're really talented, too. He always was really talented. Tim Daly. Funny and talented actors, 56 years old. Javier Bardem is 43. Jensen Ackles of Supernatural is 34. Kesha turns 25 years old today. You know what she's going to do? She's going to wake up this morning. She's going to brush her teeth at Jack Daniels.
Oh, that's crazy.
She's going to party with all the boys.
She's outrageous.
Oh, she's such an outlaw. She's like Lisa, the way she drives to work in the morning, just like Kesha.
Lisa's going to start spelling her name with a dollar sign, too.
That's right. Leisha. Alicia May. Justin Bieber's 18 years old today. He cashes in. He gets all his money.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the day
this
where...
This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the downward spiral, boys and
now,
girls.
I wasn't...
Sit back, get your popcorn, relax, and watch him circle the drain.
I'm not aware of what you guys are talking about. Was his money being held for him in some sort of a trust until he turned 18?
The Coogan. What is that rule? It's the Coogan?
Yeah, the Coogan law. Yeah,
law? You, yeah you have to.
All child, all child performers have to have their money put into a trust until the age of 18 when they become an adult, and then they have
access. That's a lot of money in Justin Bieber's case.
It's over $100 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
His parents controlled all of his money until
today.
Here's
your money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, they may have another deal. They may have put it in trust until he's 21 or something like that. I mean, you can do it legally any way you want, but usually it's 18. Yeah.
Well, he is asking his followers on Twitter, and you know he has like 17 million or something like that. He's asking them to make a donation for clean water in Africa today in honor of his birthday, which I think is a nice way to... turn around.
Yeah, cheap mother effer. He's got all the money in the world. Why don't you give all of Canada clean water? Poor Canadians there with no water.
It was Africa that needs the water.
I'm sorry. Africa needs it. Well, still, give them water then, Justin Bieber. I just figured he's doing it for Canada because he's all Canadian. And
sure.
And my buddy Mark Paul Gosselaar celebrates his 38th birthday today. Can be seen on Franklin and Bash. And, of course, from NYPD Blue, happy birthday, MPG. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
What's happening, Joe Rogan, and why have you been kicked in the balls so many times?
I used to do a lot of Taekwondo.
Joe Rogan's in the studio with us.
A lot of kicking.
Yeah, he just said he's been kicked in the balls over 100 times.
Easily.
Hundreds of times.
Easily over 100 times. Hard.
Well, then you develop new hobbies then. It's amazing. If that's happening to you on a regular basis.
Well, when you do Taekwondo, a lot of it's kicking. And you kick and I kick at the same time. Sometimes a kick goes under a kick and salambo.
Yeah. I like in the UFC how you always replay those, though. You always
roll
it back.
It's not my idea. The truck does it.
Slow-mo.
Yeah.
It's really important, though. That's a big part.
Well, you got to know that a guy's not faking it.
Yeah.
Sometimes dudes will get hit in the artery. There's it's a femoral nerve that's right there in the inner thigh. It's very painful. And sometimes guys will do that, and then they grab their testicles as if they got kicked low. So you actually do have to look at it.
Oh, I see.
So it's not for the high level guys that get to the UFC. They don't usually fake stuff, but in amateur competitions, it's kind of important.
Joe Rogan is here, by the way, for a number of reasons. A, because he's awesome and we like seeing him, and he apparently likes coming here.
But I love
B,
you guys.
Because even though Friday and Saturday are sold out already at the Bray Improv, well done, Joe. You do have a few seats available for the Sunday night 7 p.m. performance for just $25 at the Bray Improv. That's BrayaImprov.com. See the great Joe Rogan on stage. Speaking of comedy, Joe,
hey fella,
wanted to make sure to thank you, as we do from time to time, for your participation in the April Foolishness that you've done in the past. What a fun night that is. Have you heard about the lineup for this year?
No. Who's on?
I hope you'll come just as a guest if you can, if you're not working that night.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever go see comedians?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. If someone's at the Improv, you know, one of my friends from out of town, Doug Stanhope or someone like that is in town.
Well, let me run this lineup by you and see what you think for one night of comedy, because we love doing this. This is the Gibson Amphitheater, April 7th. Tickets go on sale for street team members in less than 3 hours. 10 o'clock this morning, tickets go on sale. Felipe Esparza, last Comic Standing winner.
Hilarious dude.
Funny man Brad Williams, good friend of the show. Tim Minchin coming over to be performing. Eddie Ift, Jim Jeffries, Bob Saget, Jay Moore, Larry King, Eddie Izzard.
Wow, I might have to come on and save that.
How's
show
that for a lineup, huh?
It was so funny because
that's an awesome lineup.
Because we were talking about Larry King. We were talking about, hey, maybe we should invite him. Oh, I don't know. Maybe our audience won't get him. Well, let's just throw it out there anyway. And then they came back and they were like, hey, Larry's in. And we were like, wait, do we really want Larry?
You're going to have Larry talk about his wife for 10 minutes. He's going to go up and do a stand-up. That's what he should do.
Which one?
Do you know the one that is having sex with the son's coach?
Oh, no.
You didn't hear that?
No. Excellent. I just think that's just rumors.
The son's coach is a bitch of a man for coming out with this rumor. I mean, the lady was nice enough to have sex with you while she was watching. It was like the crazy story, though, because her story, or his story, rather, I'm sure it's probably all fake, but his story was that he would have sex with her while she was watching the program because she had to watch it every night because he would like ask her, like, what did you think about that?
Right.
I asked him that.
I got him there, right? So she would have to have all the information available. So they're actually doing it doggy style while she watches.
Well,
I don't believe that. That's too good.
You have to accommodate.
That's too amazing.
That is too good.
If that really is life, it's beautiful.
Well,
you know, but a man like that, I think, I believe that if I ever get that old and I get some young chippy, I will assume that she's banging her trainer.
And you'll
be fine
with it.
As long as I get a little every now and then.
Yeah, you think.
It's not a balanced thing. I'm disgusting. You're just an old, wretched hag of a person, and you're this young flower is allowing you to penetrate her
occasionally.
You don't even deserve that.
Yeah,
You know, the fact that she gets off with her trainer, yeah, let her get off. Jesus Christ. As long as they don't kill you. You should just be happy if they don't kill you and drive your Ferrari everywhere. You know, when you're some crazy old creep that's banging young chicks, you should be so lucky that all she does is cheat on you. You should be so lucky.
Yeah, that's true.
You have totally circumvented the balance of the universe by figuring out some creepy trick way of controlling the sex resources. Like, what have you done here?
We'll tell him that just before he goes on.
You have no buttocks. Your pants are hanging onto the skeleton of a frame, and you have this young. I'm not talking about Larry King. I'm talking about general. So many of these old guys. That do that rock that young wife thing. You know, you got to be happy with whatever you get.
Point.
Don't get nuts, man. The game's almost over. The game's almost over.
Don't get too greedy.
Yeah, let's not start calling out penalty points. Just play, son. Have a good time. You know, is she there at 9? Yeah, she's there at 9. Who cares what happened while you were out playing golf? Who knows, man? Whatever. She did what she wanted to do.
Did you like her to play golf? Yes.
Yeah.
Did she have fun? Yes.
Don't you like her? Then you wanted to be happy. And that's what makes her happy. Getting stuffed by her trainer. Getting stuffed in the corner of a couch.
While she's watching.
Listen.
Joe keeps it in perspective, doesn't he?
I hope Mr. King is listening. You got to look at it that way. You can't be crazy and want some fairy tale Sandra Bullock movie. That's not real, son. It's not even real with Sandra Bullock. How about them apples?
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
That's
see?
True.
Yep.
Especially if you're 90.
The world's tickets go on sale. With freaks and creeps.
10 o'clock this morning. Again, proceeds this year benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project and the Cedars-Sinai NICU. Mr. Rogan taking the year off, but I hope you'll be back in a future April Fool's.
Yeah,
if you can come to this.
Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I'm around. You know, so if somebody dies, I'm there for you.
Well, we're not asking you to work. We just want you to come and enjoy it.
Okay, well, I'll do that, too.
But then we had a meeting. We were like, yeah, Joe does it so much for us. Let's give him a year
off.
Well,
you guys are awesome. You guys are the only radio station that I get up for anymore. Oh, I really have given up on that. Well, because of the podcast, I don't have to do it on the road now. I promote it through the podcast. Yeah. It's so much easier. So I don't have to deal with these wacky morning zoo characters. Some of them are very cool. Don't get me wrong. But, boy, the radio is a strange market thing.
Yeah.
It's the whole business is very strange now. But the other day, my satellite radio ran out in my car. And so I was driving around listening to K-Rock. And I'm like, man, somebody actually knows how to pick good, interesting music. Like, this is a really good station. And I don't just say it because I come on you guys and I love you guys. But this is a station kicks ass. It's like smart people have figured out how to like play
easy.
Good music.
Take it easy with smart people.
Okay.
I think we stumbled into it.
They've copied the trends of intelligent humans.
We need to take a break. Joe Rogan is here in studio on the Kevin DeBean Show.
We got to talk about dragons. There's dragons, real dragons.
I want to talk about dragons.
That's why I love Joe Rogan so much. He comes in here with a new animal that we need to be afraid of.
There's some things happening in this universe.
We want to talk about dragons. I also want to talk about how Rampage is calling you out and what that feud is about. I also want to talk about marijuana.
I'm sure you've made marijuana.
As a performance enhancing drug, Nick Diaz. We need to talk about that.
Okay,
too. But mostly dragons. When we return with Joe Rogan after this on the Kevin DeBean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Oh, my God.
And it's 25 minutes after 7.
There is no band called Christina Aguilera's Vagina, okay?
I've been to the mountain. It's there.
Oh, yeah.
It's there. You got to go up really high to get to it.
Follow Joe at Joe Rogan on Twitter. His website is joerogan.net. Of course, he's got the podcast that he does that just gets bigger and bigger every week.
You'll hear a lot from Joe about Black Keys.
I love them. They're amazing.
They're great. Yeah,
they're real. They're just one of the rare real bands. You know, like everything they do, you've their work resonates. You know what I mean? Like you hear one of their new songs and you go, God, like that Little Black Submarines, that new one.
Yes.
God damn, is that good?
It is different when you put in an album and then you listen to song and then you're impressed by it, and then the next one is great and then the next one is great.
It's just boom, boom, over and over again. It's just so much talent.
I think what it is about them is that they are a rock and roll band who will be played on classic rock radio in 50 years. They're just the kind of music that's going to last rather than something that comes out and it's flavor of the week and then you forget about it in 2 years.
They're ugly dudes from Ohio. That's what it is. They know how to throw down.
Exactly.
Ugly dudes from Ohio got to have flavor. You know, they weren't born with perfect hair and some silly band where they're wearing a bead bracelet, you know, and dancing around. No.
And they were also smart enough, by the way, even though they were super lo-fi, and I've loved loved this band forever and ever, and they you know, they made a lot of records that were really good before they broke through a couple years ago, but they were smart enough to go, hey, we need to update a little bit. And they went to Danger Mouse and had him start producing, and he knew exactly how to bring out the best of them without them selling out. And it's a perfect marriage, him producing them. It's great.
Yeah, I don't even, I just think they just keep getting better. I think that's what it is. Yeah, add, you know, advance, move forward.
Right. All right, Joe Rogan is here. Friday and Saturday sold out at the Bray Improv. You can still get tickets for Sunday night, BrayImprov.com. Tell us about, are there dinosaurs now that we have to be afraid
dragons.
Of?
No, dragons. You don't have to be afraid of it. But there's an animal in Indonesia that they've discovered that literally is the Avatar dragon. It is the craziest looking thing you've ever seen. It's a lizard with wings, but it's little. It's a little tiny thing.
Does it fly?
Pull it up, see if you can
fly.
Yeah. I mean, what do they? No, they're just. Just to look hot on the dance floor. It's like, so they spin around like Batman. Look at that thing. Get a photo of it spread out. There's the photo to the left of it. See the photo to the left. Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
What the?
Yeah, what the? That's a real.
Why do you say that, man?
Is that incredible?
Why do you say it's a dragon and not like a chameleon or something like that?
Well, because it's got wings. It's a giant, scaly lizard with wings.
That's true.
I mean, if that thing was 100 feet long, you'd be horrified. If it was flying through the air above Los Angeles, we would be absolutely terrified.
Does it bite? Does it sting?
I'm sure it bites little stuff.
How does it kill you?
If you're that doesn't kill
it's
you.
It's going to kill you. That could kill you in a second, Joe.
Evolution. What's going to happen is we're going to get hit by the next asteroid, and instead of the dinosaurs being wiped out, will be wiped out. Indonesia, for some strange reason, because of the place where it is in the world, will avoid most of the nuclear fallout.
Right.
And this thing will get bigger. It'll eat the bodies of all the humans.
And then it'll rule the Earth for a billion
years. It'll get real big from eating all the dead humans. So they're going to just blow up like a lot of lizards. I mean, how did Komodo dragons get big? They have an awesome food supply.
Joe so finds things to worry about that the rest of us don't even consider.
See, I'm not worried, man. I'm just high. I'm fascinated. Just smoking weed going online.
I think it's treehugger.com. And it says, you know the flying dragons in Avatar? Tiny real-life version photographed in Indonesia.
Well, that's an amazing
thing. How do you know that's not a fake photo?
I just assume the scientists wouldn't do that. That seems like a bad way to get grants. I'm just fascinated by the fact that there are spots in the world where there's so many undiscovered things.
How do you know it's not a baby, by the way? How do you know it's not going to get a lot bigger?
Yeah, right? What if it just like takes a long time to get to be a dragon, like a million years, and it just stays alive and keeps getting bigger? When do we shoot this thing? Not yet. Every year it gets a little bit bigger. That would be amazing, right?
Joe, I thought about you this week. There was some deal on TV where they were talking about this new way that they figured out to get even deeper into the ocean, and they've got this equipment that's going down 8 miles into the ocean, and they're finding all sorts of creatures that we've never seen before that we didn't even know existed. Apparently, there's just a whole world down there that
we don't
even know
about.
Well,
you can see that in that photograph. If you look at the photograph that you have right there of that dragon, in the upper left-hand corner, there's a giant isopod that they found attached to some underwater robot. They didn't even know this thing existed. They found this
That's a little scary.
Giant insect thing at the bottom of the ocean. Look at that ugly, freaky, alien-looking thing. Yeah, that's a real-life animal that they found attached to some equipment they were pulling up from the bottom of the ocean.
Look at its face.
You look at its face. It's a dog.
Oh, my God.
It's like a giant lobster dog.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, the bottom of the ocean is way scarier than anything we've got here on Earth. We don't know what's down there.
Wow.
We've only I think they've only explored like 10% of the ocean. There's so much down there that they have no idea what it is.
But why does it all want to kill us?
Well, it wants to kill something, you know? What it is the ocean is a tough place to live, you know, and it's survival of the fittest out there. And that's why they have things like sharks that nature has screwed them so hard, they're not even allowed to sleep. They can't even stay still. If they stop moving, they die, and they constantly eat. And they eat everything, license plates, your feet, whatever's available. They just chew on it and swallow it if they can do it. And they're just a big, dumb, stupid monster just swimming through the ocean, eating everything in its path. And they're available over Malibu. If you fly over Malibu, you can go look down. You see them all the time. It's a lot of great whites
that go around where those people
surf.
That any of us would wake up today and be hearing about dragons and lobster dogs on the radio.
It does look like a lobster dog, though, doesn't it?
I did because I knew Joe was coming in. By the way, same site, 10 ways to hang your bike on the wall. So you got that, too.
Yeah, look, I paid for that article, you lazy bitch. That's ridiculous.
All right, we need to take another break. Joe Rogan is here again. It is tomorrow night, Saturday night, Sunday night at the Brea Improv. Go to BreaImprov.com.
Holler indeed. Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. I'm so glad Joe is here. Let me tell you why. Because I'm going to make a prediction right now that Fear Factor, which you've just brought back this season, is going to last forever, Joe. I'm telling you that show is...
Cute?
is so popular and so in the pocket.
Huh? What? It's canceled. It's canceled.
That's not true.
Yes. We've already talked about this. You weren't in the room.
It just came back.
Bean is just being a silly man.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, I already told them. Well, the people drank donkey sperm, and that's not allowed. You can't do that in America.
But they didn't air that episode.
Yeah, they didn't have to. They didn't have
based
to.
Based on protests.
Yeah, it was like we realized like everyone was completely out of control. While we were on the set, I was telling them this is a bad idea. This is out of control.
That.
Yeah. I was like, I never thought I would ever come to a point in my life as a grown adult with a family, you know, as a professional broadcaster on television, where I'm the one who steps up and goes, hey, man, I don't think we should make them drink sperm.
Right. Listen. Yeah, that's not because you're used to not ever having that role. When it's you, there's something wrong.
Exactly. But that's that sentence, I don't think they should drink sperm. Yeah. That sentence is not supposed to ever have to come out of your mouth when you're in regards to a television show.
That's true.
There's other aspects of my life where it probably would apply.
In the history of Fear Factor, is this the first time that anyone contestants have been asked to drink sperm? Because they've eaten whale the whole deal, but sperm is okay.
Yes, it was the first time. And this it got leaked somehow or another. Someone leaked it, and they leaked like photos of the glass. It was a glass. It was a large glass.
The thing is, this is why it's trying to be kept quiet.
Okay. The reason why is because someone at Standards and Practices okayed that. It wasn't like we snuck it up on them. So everybody's like, they're trying to like sweep this under the rug and quiet this down, and you know, and they sort of quietly canceled
it. Did a contestant do it before it was?
Everybody did it.
Everybody did it. And they got nothing for it.
Well, no, well, one group. it was twins. That was the theme of the show. And one girl group won.
All right.
How awesome was it for the donkey, though? Or was it not done like that?
I don't think it was done like that.
Well, the donkey, this is interesting. The way they extract it is through a cattle prod.
I don't know that we can talk about
that. Yeah, you can. You can, because you don't have to say anything.
Okay. That's cool.
Actually, I don't know if you know this. Probably you do. You look like you've been around. You know some things.
He's looking at Lisa.
The prostate, the male's prostate is in a very unfortunate place.
Right.
And to get to it, you got to get dirty.
Yes.
And, Lisa's got her arms crossed and she's nodding her head. It's the most uncomfortable moment in all of our friendship.
Uh-huh.
The cattle prod ignites a bomb, a sperm bomb, and it just boom, and that's what you get
that
it in there, and, and whoa, and the donkey just
got it.
Lets it have it. You know,
so they canceled
apparently,
the show because
I don't
of
know.
That.
I'm assuming. I think it was very difficult to find advertising for it. Look, it was a good idea. They thought it was fun. Bring it back. It got some ratings. You know, hopefully, they made some money, and that's a wrap.
All right, let's talk about marijuana.
But unfortunately, because I enjoyed working with those people, but I like doing stand up and Fear Factor. Like Fear Factor was like a great job.
It does seem like a one off for you. Yeah. You can do it for a while, but
it was cool. It was like a really cool job, but not like the UFC. Like the UFC is not a job to me. The UFC is like I'd be watching it 100% for free. You know, I'd be doing exactly what I'm doing almost. You know, except saying what I'm saying.
Speaking of the UFC. Kevin said, let's talk about marijuana. Nick Diaz.
Whee!
On the pod. Now, at the time, Kevin and I, when the news broke that he had tested positive for marijuana, we said, doesn't that seem like that's the last drug you ought to be doing before you fight? That does not at all seem performance enhancing.
If you're not a stoner. If you're a stoner, it's absolutely performance enhancing.
Oh, it is.
Marijuana is a performance enhancing drug when it comes to jiu-jitsu, no doubt about it. When it comes to kickboxing, I smoke weed and I train all the time.
Why?
Yeah, because it makes me feel my body better. It does when I lift weights. I smoke weed and I lift weights. Yeah, you're like more in tune. What I think is that human beings, we like to think of ourselves as individual autonomous units, but we're not. We're a collection of vitamins and minerals and water and, you know, there's all sorts of different things that go into making up a human being. And I think there are things that enhance you. They enhance your sensitivity. And marijuana is absolutely one of those. There's a reason why it stimulates cannabinoids in the brain. Your brain was literally designed to pick up what cannabis is selling. Okay? And when you have that in your system, if you're someone who knows how to manage it, if you're someone who has cannabis in your system on a regular basis, and you're not afraid of the waves, because that's the thing that freaks people out. It's like if you're a surfer and you watch surfers in Hawaii those badass surfers that jump on those waves, and you see that mountain of water over them, like, Jesus, oh my God, what's he doing?
It scares us to death.
If that was me, I don't know how to surf. So if I got on there and I'm like, that water's behind me, I'd be in, the water would smash me into the rocks, and I'd be done, because I don't know how to surf. But those guys, they know how to surf. And the marijuana wave, it's very important that you learn how to ride that wave. You can't try to control it. You can't try to dictate what happens. You have to accept the fact you are essentially under the influence of a psychedelic. It's a usable psychedelic, but it is a psychoactive substance.
Now, do most fighters use it but taper it off in time?
Okay, this is one thing I can say. There is a huge amount of fighters who smoke weed. I've joked around that I've smoked weed with a lot of mixed martial arts champions, but it's true. There's a lot of them that smoke weed.
And then
a lot of them eat it. They vaporize it and eat it. There's a certain amount of time. There's a fat-soluble aspect of it. Now, Nick Diaz, the interesting aspect to his story is that he has a medical prescription for it in California.
Right.
So he's legal in California, and he takes it for legitimate reasons, for anxiety. I mean, if you see the guy talk, he doesn't like talking on camera. You can tell that he gets a little bit anxious. I mean, he's badass when he gets inside the cage, but... what he does is, he takes it so he gets on in life better. You know, and it really is we were talking about Xanax and stuff during the break.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of things that people are taking that people that take that would have. They would never take marijuana. Like, I have my wife has a friend who takes Xanax all the time. She would never do marijuana. Oh, I don't want to do drugs. Like, what do you think you're doing? You have a pill bottle from a chemical company. I'm telling you about an herb that'll make you feel better, and you're freaking out taking all these wacky pills. But because the doctor's giving it to her, she doesn't consider it a drug. She'll have a glass of wine in her hand, take a Xanax, and doesn't think she's on drugs. Yeah. Like, you're on the craziest drugs, hooker.
So it can be enhancing to a fighter.
It is absolutely enhancing.
Wow.
It is enhancing for comedy. If I had to do comedy without weed, man, it would be really tough to write.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote my whole first CD. I never even did smoke pot until I was like, well, I'd done it like very, like maybe a handful of times my entire life until I was 30. So when my first CD.
And then you got on the train hard.
Yeah, my first CD was no marijuana. Like, you can go listen to it. Like, me pre-pot and post-pot. It was more thoughtful. I think it's a steroid for comedy, for sure. But for jiu-jitsu, it's very common for guys to smoke weed and then go and do jiu-jitsu.
Because it makes violation of the UFC rules, though.
It is a violation of the Nevada State Athletic Commission's rules, and the rules are pretty clearly stated. So, when a guy doesn't follow the rules and tests positive, regardless of the fact that you think he should be able to smoke pot, it is still a rule. Now, the problem is he's not under the influence while he's competing. All it is just some trace elements that are in his system. So what you're saying is that he shouldn't be able to get under influence in training, but even in a fight when it's absolutely not psychoactive levels, you're still going to penalize him for having smoked weed in the past. It's silliness. It's not like you're showing up stoned.
Right.
Right.
And they can prove that.
He just didn't have it completely out of his system.
And he did do that before. He fought Gomi. He fought Takanori Gomi in Vegas, and they said there was so much weed in his system, he had to have got high right before the fight. And he might not have known he was getting tested. Because, look, when you got a dude like Nick Diaz, first of all, Nick Diaz is a racehorse. He's a rare fighter. He's one of those dudes that he's born for this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That guy
only
gets
for
up.
This. Yeah, it seems like only for this.
He doesn't like talking too much to people. He doesn't like, bragging. He doesn't just go out there and kick everybody's ass. And he's in between that. He's doing triathlons, okay? So what he does is he smokes weed and he gets on his bike and he runs 1,000 miles and he swims 100 miles. I mean, he's doing all this every day. And then when it comes down time to fighting, he just gets in there and throws down. Now, a guy like that, he's not really paying too much attention to what the athletic commission's telling him about, he's like, I thought I wasn't getting tested for this one. it could happen. You could say, how could a guy be fighting in Pride in Las Vegas in a huge event and not know he's getting tested? Because that's not what he's thinking about. He's thinking about going out there and kicking that dude's ass. That's what he's thinking about. He's not thinking about whether or not he gets tested. And weed's a natural part of his everyday life. So apparently he was just blasted when they did his his drug test. And there's so much in his system. This is crazy.
But
it's not like trace elements. Got him in a go-go plata. It was one of the craziest submissions ever. He choked him out with his foot and his shin underneath the guy's neck while pulling down on his head.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's called a go-go plata.
That's so, a level.
Yeah, it was nasty.
We're out of time.
Thank God that guy's alive. That's forget about Nevada State Athletic Commission fining him. You should give him a car and a house and be happy that guy exists because that guy's bringing revenue to your silly, crazy, nuclear-infected state. What you need to do is just throw those stupid laws out the window. You need to realize like that's a dumb law.
Yeah.
You know, don't be high while you're fighting. Then I think it is a performance enhancer, though. I really do believe that.
The podcast is the Joe Rogan Experience. You can get that on iTunes or through the website at joerogan.net. Follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Rogan and don't miss him on stage at the Bray Improv. Sold out Friday and Saturday, but you can still get tickets for Sunday, March 4th at 7 o'clock. $25, BrayImprov.com. Joe, you're the best, man. Thanks
for coming. No, you guys are the best. I love you guys.
What's up with that walking on coals thing? We'll discuss next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, the Ace Man joins us, Adam Carolla, with This Week in Rage coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I got a bunch of emails and tweets and stuff, people asking why I haven't mentioned the passing of Davy Jones from the Monkees. And I just assumed, you know, the Monkees were a huge phenomenon of the 60s, and then they kind of had a resurgence in the 80s when MTV put them back on television, and they got popular all over again. So I just didn't know how much people were interested. But also, it's particularly hard for me because Davy was a friend of mine. And he was...
For real?
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were friends for almost 20 years.
Really?
And he was such a great guy, and this came as such a shock to those of us who knew him and stuff, because at 66, you know, I know it sounds old, but, you know, these days people are living into their 80s and stuff, and it was a shock to a lot of us. And he was a good friend to me. We worked together years ago. That's how we met. And he kind of took me under his wing. And when I was a broke and out-of-work actor and I needed work, he would take me on the road with him when he did his Davy Jones solo show. And I'd come out on stage with him, and I'd do impressions and comedy bits with him and everything. And he helped me out a lot when I was first starting out and struggling and stuff. And he was always very supportive, and he was always a friend for life. Every time he came through town, we'd get together and spend time together. And he was a good, good guy who loved to entertain people, just a big song and dance guy. And he'd get on stage, and the fans from the Monkees would always show up, and you know, he'd sell out all over the place and got a lot of support and love from people. So it's just a sad, sad time for me and other people who knew him. So... he will be missed, Davy Jones. He was a good guy, and if you were a Monkees fan at all, you know, it's funny, the music still holds up after all these years. People still listen to it and stuff, so it's nice that he left that behind. So, yeah, Davy Jones passed away yesterday at the age of 66 years old. Also in the news, Taylor Swift's a big whore.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
This according to, what's the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, apparently warning people to stay away from Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, a story about her and Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow spotted having dinner together in an Italian restaurant in Century City, California on Monday.
Whore.
So, apparently she's Tebowing these days.
Yeah.
You know how that can go. I wonder if she'll go out with him when he's not starting next season. They'll still have to be a couple or not. George Clooney wants you to know that he doesn't give an F if you think he's gay.
Okay.
He did an interview with The Advocate magazine, and...
Who thinks George Clooney is gay? He has all the hot chicks in the world.
They, The Advocate magazine, addressed rumors with George that apparently are going around that he and his buddy Brad Pitt have more than just a bromance going on.
Really?
Yes.
Just a gay fantasy.
I've never heard
that
rumor in my life.
Well, the gays want to talk about it.
All right.
And he said, I'm very proud to call Brad my friend, and I don't give an F if people think that we're gay. He said, because I'm not going to make it seem like it's a bad thing to be gay. He also made points with the gay community by talking about marriage equality being the final leg of the civil rights movement, and he always said if he had a gay character to play, he'd be happy to do it if the right role came along. So,
does he ever say the wrong thing?
No, he does not.
Huh.
I don't know if you saw the clip, but Fox News sent somebody to the red carpet of the Oscars just to stir us up.
I didn't see that.
Asked the liberal media elite tough questions about the state of the country. And so I think it was Bill O'Reilly sent somebody out there.
Right.
And said to Clooney, so do you think Obama's doing a good job? And he said, yeah, I do. And by the way, it's President Obama. He's the President of the United States. It's not just Obama. He's the President of the United States. The guy was like, so he always says the right thing. He's Clooney.
Yeah.
And by the way, this was before the Oscars aired. They were catching him on the red carpet before we saw him making out with Billy Crystal in that opening medley.
Right.
I mean, the montage.
See? Gay.
That would have just put Bill O'Reilly's head in a spin, wouldn't it?
That's right. The no spin zone.
Yeah.
He wouldn't put him in a spin because he doesn't spin.
That's true.
No,
spinning
spin.
Not allowed.
That's right.
That's
my
right.
bad.
Interesting case going on with Desperate Housewives. You read about this at all? This strange thing? Nicolette Sheridan, who starred on that show,
is suing Mark Cherry, the creator of the show, and ABC because she claimed he beat her up.
What?
During an argument regarding the show, and that's why she left.
He beat her up?
Yeah. So she's suing, and apparently they're going to call all the Desperate Housewives cast onto the stand to testify as to whether they ever saw any physical violence between Mark Cherry and Nicola Sheridan. So Eva Longoria's got to go up on the stand, and wow. Felicity Huffman and Terry Hatcher. And I'm thinking, film that! That's your finale. That's the episode we all want to see. I don't want to see freaking Primrose Lane or wherever the hell they live. I want to see that real life drama going on. So, yeah, it was day one of the lawsuit yesterday, and Nicolette Sheridan was on stand, burst into tears.
That seems bad.
When talking about what was going on, and her attorney said, "Ms. Sheridan is taking this on alone in this town where no one will take on a television network." So, we'll have to wait and see. Cherry, by the way, said in his opening statement that the reason her character was written out of the show is because the character had simply run its course and it was time for Edie to die. I don't know if you want to use those
wow.
words when you're being accused of being violent.
Take it easy, dude.
Be a little kinder. And Brett Butler, remember her? Yes. Grace Under yeah. Fire? She's coming yeah. back to television. She's going to have a recurring role in Charlie Sheen's new series, Anger Management.
I don't remember her, but... When is that coming?
She also had problems with painkillers and drugs, and that's why she lost her show, too. So these two together, Charlie Sheen and Brett Butler, good combination.
I think it'll work.
They're going to have 10 episodes of this thing for the first season, and I predict 7. We'll see. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mark Paul Gosselaar, my friend from NYPD Blue and Saved by the Bell. And, of course, now Franklin and Bash, you can see him on. He's 38 years old today. Justin Bieber's 18. Ladies, fair game. Now he's legal. Go get him.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
You say ladies, you mean girls.
Yeah, or dudes. By ladies, I mean
boys.
Dudes. Kesha's 25 years old. Jensen Ackles from Supernatural's 34 years old. Javier Bardem turns 43. Tim Daly's 56 years old. Ron Howard, actor, director, producer. He is 58. Alan Thicke from Growing Pains turns 65. And Roger Daltrey, lead singer for the legendary rock band The Who, is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are let's face it, ever since 9/11/01, we are all a little bit paranoid about guns and about bombs and about terrorism. And we're a little jumpier society, I think, than we were. There were two stories that came out this week that demonstrate this. One is a high school in Florida was put on lockdown because of a text message that apparently was sent to a council member's phone. It was the wrong number. This person was not who was trying to be texted, but they accidentally sent the text message to this person. And the message said a gunman will be at the West Hall today. So they locked the school down,
wow.
tracked the person who sent the text. Turned out it was an iPhone autocorrect. What he had typed was gonna be at the West Hall today, and it changed it to gunman be at the West Hall today. He had spelled gunna, G-U-N-N-A, and it changed it to gunman.
Yeah.
And then he sent it to the wrong number. The next thing you know, the whole school is closed down. So that was thing one, and that's you know, that must have been a delicate situation for a couple minutes. And then the other one is a story from our friends at Southwest Airlines. Passengers in the air terrified when the pilot came on board and said over the public address system that there was a bomb on board. Now, that's not the kind of news you're hoping for it's from not, your pilot when you're flying, right?
Actually, he didn't say bomb. He said mom.
Right.
He was wishing somebody's mother a happy birthday.
Oh,
yes.
And
no.
he said, we have a mom on board.
Oh, no.
And everybody went, ah! Started those, freaking out.
Those things are hard to understand to begin with.
They you are.
Just, oh,
they
my
are.
God.
So that's what he said, though, was mom on board, and everybody just freaked and said, we're going down. This can't be happening again.
Oh, dear God.
Apparently, he was on, you know, over the radio with the air traffic controller, and the air traffic controller said, hey, have a great flight. My mother is on your flight, so take good care of her. So he went on and said, I want to say happy congratulations to the mom on board. Everybody's like, mom on board. And they must have been wondering why the pilot just sounded so calm. Like they are. You know what I mean?
I just like to announce
there's a bomb on board. Well, anyway, we asked Dave if we could talk to the pilot. And sure enough, from Southwest Airlines, Kyle McGinn joins us here on the Kevin Amin Show right now. He is the pilot who was involved in this misunderstanding the other day in the air. Hi, Mr. McGinn. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Are you flying now?
Yeah, we're currently flying out of Burbank and to McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay. Was this an embarrassment for you? I mean, did you...
Well, it was... It was unfortunate, that's for sure, but it wasn't so embarrassing for me because I don't feel like I really did anything wrong. I was simply
wishing mom on board.
Happy birthday right to the mom of Danny, one of our air traffic controllers, and just said we got a mom on board, and I guess some people misunderstood, and it led to a bit of confusion, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, just to misunderstand, the FAA looked into it and said there's not going to be any kind of, you know, they've asked everybody, and it was clearly just an accident. Don't even worry about it. Let's move on. Next.
Right. And I just would tell people to listen more carefully when they're on flights.
It's hard sometimes.
I know it's hard, but often we do give important safety instructions and things over the intercom when we are talking to passengers, and often you'll see people ignore it and have their face in their book or their iPad or whatever they're looking at. And
sure.
So it's important to pay attention when any other flight crew talks to you during the course of a flight.
All right.
Why is it okay for you to be on a cell phone talking to us right now when we're not allowed to use our cell phones as passengers on your planes?
I'm not on a cell phone right now. I'm on a super secret airplane phone.
Oh, I didn't realize you had those.
Yeah, we got them.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, hold on, you guys. I have to make an announcement. Can you hold on real quick?
Oh, all right. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, just want to let you know for your entertainment, we do have an in-flight magazine that is in the front seat pocket right there in front of you. It is a dynamite issue, and I hope you'll all take a chance and take a leaf through it.
Did you
I'm sorry. I'm back, guys.
You shouldn't say, maybe you should steer away from the word dynamite.
Oh, it's a great issue, though. I read it. It's really
I know.
Right, but I mean, that's the type of thing, just like with earlier in the week, that's the type of thing that somebody could hear, and they're not really paying attention. They go, oh, my God, dynamite, what's happening? They think they're in danger.
Hold on a second. I'm going to make another announcement.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, just let you know, our in-flight movie today will be The Expendables. I've seen the film. It's great. A lot of action. If you like explosions and dead bodies,
Captain,
I think you'll enjoy it. All right, thanks. Have a good flight,
Captain McGinn. You seem to be putting emphasis on dead bodies and explosions.
Not to the best of my knowledge.
It seemed like you really punched those words.
It's a great movie. Right.
Hold on a second.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that snacks are available for purchase here on the flight, as well as cocktails and soft drinks and energy drinks, including Full Throttle and Monster!
Captain, you just shouted Monster.
No, I was just letting them know what the drinks are available today. Hmm.
Okay, I think it's at this point, it's on you. I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, also want to wish a happy birthday to one of our frequent flyers. So let's let Al-Qaeda know that you're always welcome to be here on the flights, and we appreciate it. Have a good birthday, Al. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Australia!
Nope, not this time,
Australia.
I had forgotten about Oprah Winfrey now that she's not on my my TV every day on the channels that I watch.
You don't watch OWN?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh,
I don't watch OWN.
That's on in my house a lot.
OWN.
I'll tell you that.
Really? Your wife watches the OWN?
She loves Oprah. You know
she's
that.
She's a cult of Oprah. You know that.
Yeah. My wife did too, but it was only when it was on in the afternoons that she could watch. Nope. She's like not seeking her out on OWN, which is, I think, channel 1,402 on DirecTV.
It actually rotates on days. Well, you have to literally look for it every day.
Oprah was back on my TV this past week because of the Jimmy Kimmel After the Oscar special, which, by the way, was very funny. And if you missed it, Coldplay performs. Oprah is the guest. They do Movie the Movie with every movie star in the world in a fake movie trailer. They are re-airing that episode tomorrow night in Jimmy's regular time slot. So if you just take the regular Jimmy Kimmel Live, you'll see the Oscar special tomorrow night. But one of the things they talked to Oprah about is she has on her Oprah's Next Chapter show, she has a feature coming up in the next few days where she goes to one of those Tony Robbins seminars. Now, he is the guy with the giant head. He's a big dude. He's taller than I am.
Yeah.
Big dude, giant head. He's a motivational speaker, one of the best in the world. And he has worked with professional athletes. He's worked with presidents. I mean, he is just a great motivator by all accounts. One of the things that he does when you sign up for his deal, though, is he teaches you how to use your mind over matter to walk on hot coals without being burned.
Yes.
Now, are we calling BS on that?
You change your feet into steel. He makes your feet steel.
We're calling BS on that.
I am just saying that the way it looked like, and I'm not going to bother to take the time to watch more of it when Oprah does the actual show, but in the clip they showed on the Jimmy Show, it looked like he spends hours hyping you up, talking about how you can do this. I know it seems impossible, and it's all a metaphor for improving your life and reaching your goals and all that BS, but what he's saying is you can do this.
You can just do it.
If you just believe you can walk on the hot coals and not get burned, then you can walk on the hot coals and not get burned. To what I'm saying is I could step outside right now and walk over that amount of hot coals without any words from Tony Robbins, and it would be fine because it takes like 3 seconds.
Because they run across.
Because they run.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Your weight is still being pressed down on red hot coals.
I agree.
Here's that thing. And I'm not saying it's mind over matter. I'm not saying you can make your mind change the makeup of your body and change the sensitivity of your body to heat. I'm just saying I don't understand it. Because if you ever barbecued
and you're just standing over those coals, you feel the tremendous heat that they generate.
Right, but you didn't get pumped up by Tony Robbins before you barbecued.
I can't walk across the hot sand at the beach in order to get to my blanket coming out of the water without screaming like a bitch.
You're especially white like I am.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's hot sand. That's not flame. Coals are actually on fire. All that's right. Hotter than hot sand.
People, you've been to the Tony Robbins thing. You've walked on coals. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. It has to be just that you run across it.
Or Tony Robbins is using fake coals. That's what I'm thinking.
Or he's using fake coals?
Yeah, he's using those little light-up LED briquettes or something he's got. And he makes you think they're hot, and you walk across, and you're like, woo! And he's like, sucker.
Here's audio from Oprah walking on the coals with Tony Robbins.
We'll get you some fresh coals.
Oh, no!
By the way, she's got all that weight to worry about.
She's got 400 pounds bearing down on hot coals.
And now that she's not on TV every day, she has not really won the Battle of the Bulge.
I want you to know there's nothing up here. You're going to storm through this. I will not let you get hurt. What's the worst going to happen? Turn your feet off and die. Come on.
By the way, that is the worst thing that could happen is you could trip and die.
Did she say my feet are wet?
She did.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Isn't that part of the deal is that you're out in the grass, running around in the grass before you get onto the coals, and that gives you a tiny little bit of buffer as you go over the hot coals.
Well, I didn't know there was wet feet involved.
Yes!
By the way, what kind of cult do we have going here?
Yes. Cult of Tony.
Yes!
Step up on the grass first. Yes!
Step on the grass first.
I want you to make your move as strong as you've ever been in your life. I want you to do it 3 times. Your eyes stay up and you storm the grass.
Yes. She hasn't stormed or rushed or run or any of that in years, Tony.
Make a move for a witch hunt. As hard and strong as you can. That's it.
So that happened.
Then they all cook explorers in a big pot, I think, if I remember this movie correctly.
When the cult of Tony meets the cult of Oprah, that is actually combustible. That is very scary. Look, here my whole thing, and we want to take your calls if you've done this or know how this works at 1-800-520-1067. I think this is just a magician's trick.
It is.
I think that's all there. I think there's nothing to it.
If it were true, you could stand there. If it were true,
right?
If you were mind over matter, your mind could make your feet not hurt. You could stand in
those Gordon Liddy things where you take a lighter and just hold your hand over. You just smell your own flesh burn and you'd be fine.
You don't feel it.
Yeah.
Now fire is hot, right? Am I right about that? Do I have that part
so
right?
Far,
fire is hot.
Scientists have concluded yes, that's the case.
Okay. But haven't you all seen the deal where somebody puts out a candle by wetting their fingers and then just closing
and
they don't get burned.
I'm not saying it happens. I didn't know about the wet grass part before I heard that audio. Now I believe that she had cold, wet feet, and that bought her a little time as she's walking across it, because the water has to evaporate, and it's also helping you, create ash, I'm sure, on top of the coals. So it's a different thing. I had no idea there was wet feet involved. Now I know my answer.
Let's talk to Denise real quick. Denise is in Long Beach. She is on line 6. She has been to a motivational lecture that includes walking on hot coals. Hi, Denise. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi there.
So, what were they trying to prove to you with the walking on hot coals?
It's a whole matter of that you can do this. And what he kept saying was, any time in your life after this that you think you can't do something, you think to yourself, I walked across hot coals. It's a very short distance.
So the rule, what he's trying to teach you is you can do something if there's trickery and chicanery involved.
Right.
If you cheat, you can do something.
Were your feet wet?
No, they weren't.
They weren't wet.
Really?
And you don't run because you'll trip. And someone tripped and was like fell on the poles. And it was kind of funny. But
it's not funny. What's Tony teach you, to laugh at others' misery?
Let's all
keep it in.
So tell us about you setting foot on the coals.
It felt like walking on hot sand.
Okay, so you walked across it and it just felt like hot sand.
I was never scared. I just got up, walked a couple feet.
Were the coals white hot? Were they still mostly black?
Were they
red hot? Not burned?
What was the color of the coal?
Well, I'm saying black coal is not burned yet.
There were black coals on top of the heated one.
This is getting more and more BS all the time.
And then a blanket, and then a piece of steel.
And then some aluminum foil. And some Pam was sprayed on there.
That's bullshit.
So there was cold coals on top of the hot coals. You walked on cold coals.
So anytime something comes up in life, you can go, I walked on cold coals.
I walked on non-ignited charcoal. I rule.
Thank you, Denise, for the call.
We have all the phones are tied up. Everybody is calling in, including people who have done it with Tony Robbins. So we're going to find out more about if there's anything to this or if it's just a big giant scam and he's a liar who lies. We'll take your calls next here on the Kevin and Bean.
Gautier on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:38.
Hey, don't forget Kimbra, too, man, featuring Kimbra. Give Kimbra her due. Sure. She's on there, too, man.
Sure.
Why do you hate women?
Don't.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. We're talking about this BS thing where Oprah goes to Tony Robbins, and he teaches her, among others, how to walk on coals that are 1,200 degrees hot. And apparently you don't get burned because, well, for lots of different reasons we're discovering here as we're taking your calls from people who have done it at 1-800-520-1067. Hector writes in, walking across hot coals is similar to lying on a bed of nails. It appears to be dangerous, but there's no real danger unless you're a total dumbass. Yeah, the coals are hot, but you have to bury your feet into them to get to the smoldering, really hot ones. Similar to poking your fireplace, the real heat is hidden underneath. Unless you are an infant, you have years upon years of calluses on your feet, so there's no real danger. Just don't faceplant and you'll be fine, says Hector.
Okay. We saw faceplant on the first Survivor. Remember that?
Yep.
That's right. The guy fell asleep or something into the fire, right?
Took a face nap, fire nap.
Let's talk to Shanna on line 5, who did it with 5,000 other people, walked across burning coals. Hey, Shanna, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
You were the, what were the circumstances? Why were 5,000 people together to walk over burning coals?
There was probably about 5,000 people, and they had probably like 20 rows of coals of people, sorry, there's like a fire truck behind me.
Yeah. Was this a motivational speaker seminar or something?
Yeah, it was like a mind over matter thing. And I was somewhere in the middle of the line. And when it came to be my turn, I couldn't do it.
Sweet.
And they had to pull me over. And they kept chanting to me. And they were like, you can do it. You can do it. And I was like, am I the only like sane person here? Like, these are hot coals. You're going to burn your feet. So I ended up doing it. Like, I was the last one that actually did it out of everyone that was
so
there.
You waited until the coals burned out.
Yeah, well, I still got burned. So my
you
feet
did?
Did?
Wait, your feet got burned?
They did.
Wow.
Did other people's feet get burned?
I'm sorry?
Did other people's feet get burned?
I don't know. I know mine were burned, and they were throwing water on everyone's feet at the end after you like walked over.
Well, I think that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
you are such a pussy, though.
You
right?
seem bad at this.
I was so scared. I was crying. I was like, I can't do this. This
she
is
was
hot.
Crying.
I'm gonna burn my feet.
But once you see thousands, literally thousands of other people do it, doesn't that make you go, well, I guess I was wrong. I guess it's not that hard.
Or maybe they're all crazy and I'm not. I don't know.
I doubt that. All right, Shanna, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Let's go to Bob. Bob's on line 3. Bob actually has done it with Tony Robbins, the exact same thing that Oprah does on this show that's airing the next couple of days here on the OWN Network. Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Hi.
You did the
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
How long is the Tony Robbins seminar? Is it a 3-day thing, a 1-day thing?
It was a weekend in Pasadena.
A weekend. Okay. Expensive?
It was probably maybe $600-$700.
Ouch. Okay.
Wow. And what did you get out of it, out of spending that much time with Mr. Robbins?
Well, they really kind of hypnotize you and motivate you into doing whatever you can. They had a girl that loved friendly ice cream, and he hypnotized her into thinking that she would throw up every time she ate it.
Okay.
What is he doing? Is he helping people, or is he doing magic tricks? What the hell is going on at these Tony Robbins seminars?
And then you had
now?
To pick a card, any card. Did you walk on the hot coals?
I did. And what they do is they have you take your shoes and socks off. You're in bare feet outside on the cold cement for about an hour.
For an hour?
They don't let you look down when you're walking across the coals. You can see that they're there. There's a person on each side of you holding you to make sure you keep walking along.
Make sure your weight...
Only on the coals for less than 3 seconds.
Okay.
So how much, I mean, Ralph points out that there are situations, I mean, if you put your hand on the burner of your stove at home for 3 seconds, you will get a very serious burn. There are ways to hurt yourself in 3 seconds. Doesn't sound like walking on hot coals is one of them, though.
I agree. That's two completely different sciences.
Were there non-hot coals on the top?
You know, they wouldn't let you look down. So they looked like they were smoldering orange, but they kept you moving right along, so
they wouldn't let
and
you look
you
down.
Did you burn your feet at all?
No, and it was so cold outside; it kind of was sort of welcome that oh, this is nice and warm.
I'd like to curl up in here.
Your feet were right. Numb.
Yeah, they're numbed up. You can't feel anything because they're so cold.
I love
That's
it.
Hilarious. Okay. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Dylan. Let's do one more. Dylan's on line one. He had an opposite experience. He did burn himself badly by trying to walk over the hot coals. Dylan, you've been hearing these other callers. What did you do wrong, man?
Me?
Yeah. It sounds like thousands of people have done it correctly. How'd you get hurt?
Well, me and my buddies were drinking, actually.
You guys did it yourselves?
Yeah, we were throwing a party at a beach. And we got a whole bunch of wood and burned it down to coals.
Wow.
We'll leave the details of how we burned down to the coals, you know, because I don't think we're supposed to be doing that on the beach. But,
correct.
But we burned it down to the coals, and it wasn't too great.
And you convinced yourselves, hey, we can totally walk on these coals. Yeah, you can't use that language. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
He effed himself up. Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, he walked pretty... The other buddy walked, like, pretty decently, same pace. And he got across, so I was like, oh, he did, I could do it. And I was getting, like, halfway across, and it didn't feel great. It felt a little warm, so I started to run and burnt my foot.
Burned your foot.
All right. How bad was it? You have to go to the doctor?
No, I don't do the doctor's thing. I haven't for
Yeah, I think Dylan is living off the grid. He was living on the beach, actually.
I could have answered that and go to the doctor question.
All right. Thanks for the A little more than an hour from right now. Tickets go on sale for K-Rock Street Team members for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2012. It's going to be Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. A phenomenal lineup, including our friends Brad Williams, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, Eddie If, Jim Jeffries, Tim Minchin, Felipe Esparza, Bob Saget. Did I leave anybody out? Larry King is going to be there.
Terrific.
And of course, Cleto and the Cletones from the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. Again, tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. It will sell out. And thank you in advance for your purchase benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Ralph is here now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
A lot of funny Eddies.
A lot of funny
Eddie Ift, Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy. A lot of guys named Eddie are funny. It's a funny name. Want your kid to be funny? Name him Eddie. He will be funny.
It's a guarantee.
That's right. While we're talking about tickets, it's time for Paley Fest. Paley Fest 2012 is happening this month, the month of March. The folks at the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, are going to be spending evenings with your favorite TV shows. You get to meet the casts and creators of some of your favorite shows. I've got tickets right now to give away to March 10th's evening with The Vampire Diaries.
Yay! All right.
Wildly popular show on the CW starring the smoking hot Nina Dobrev.
Yeah. Oh, I love her so much.
She is a good deal right there.
She is a good deal.
She's a lovely and talented Bulgarian-Canadian actress. That's a good mix. We got to get those Bulgarians and Canadians together more often.
We do.
They do good work. If you're a fan of the show, and especially a fan of Nina's, you'll know my answer. You'll know the answer to my trivia question. She, of course, a big star of The Vampire Diaries now, was also the star of another popular TV series. Name that TV series. She was on the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th seasons of this show, I believe. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Give me the hit series that Nina Dobrev was on before Vampire Diaries. And if you're one of the first two lucky callers to get through with the correct answer, I'll give you a pair of passes to spend the evening with Nina on March the 10th. Not just Nina. You don't get to, like, dinner with her.
Yeah, it's not an intimate thing.
It's going to be at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills, but still, it's very cool. Playboy has announced they've got big plans. First of all, they're not going to put Sinead O'Connor nude in their magazine wearing a dog collar.
Good.
That's the first big plan. The next big plan... They have announced they want to build a strip club in space.
All right.
Strippers in space.
What happened now?
I'm not...
I think Roger Corman produced that film many years ago. I'm
not sure how they'll get patrons, but okay.
Well, I'm assuming once they're talking about once we all start going. You know, we're going to go up there on vacation and stuff, but they've got plans to have the first strip club there.
Hey, look, Glenda be there?
You got the Glenda will be on stage number two. Ladies and gentlemen, Glenda coming to stage number two. Glenda, put your hands together, fellas. Get those dollar bills out. Glenda's not doing it just for the love, boys and girls. Let's face it. If you've got the only strip club in space, that's a pretty good market to corner. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because let's say I'm going to, I don't know, Uranus on vacation.
Sure.
Right? And I'm catching the shuttle.
Right.
But before I get there, you know, my wife's already there. The kids are already there. They're at the resort. They're at the Uranus Hilton.
Right, sure.
And I'm going to stop off and say, hey, driver, why don't we go over to the Playboy Club and let me
catch some of those three-boobed Venusian strippers. I like those. Those girls are hot. Oh, the Venusians. So, as you can imagine, plans are a little bit in the future. But
sure.
Look, I like the way they think.
I do, too.
The forward thinking over there at Playboy. Good stuff. Eddie Murphy, since we were talking about funny Eddies, he's got a secret girlfriend. Looks like he's been dating Toni Braxton for the past 4 months.
She's a good deal.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Tony's spokesperson insists they're just friends, but Us Weekly magazine says they are seeing each other and very into it. Their kids have met and everything. It's getting very serious.
Hmm.
So serious, I've heard that Eddie refused to pick up a transsexual hooker on
that is serious.
Santa Monica the other day. He just passed. He said, nope,
right,
you gotta find your own ride home.
Huh.
Not get it from me. We now know the name of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's new baby boy. His name will be Samuel Garner Affleck. Sammy.
Sammy.
That's a regular name for a regular kid. They do good work. Snooki. Still denying she's pregnant in the midst of all the rumors going around this week that
good.
She is with child.
I hope she's not.
I do too.
Honestly.
On-set photos, though, of her new series that she's shooting with J-Well, their spinoff show, show Snooki obviously carrying large bags to hide her belly, her baby bump.
Oh.
Although, how do you tell with Snooki whether it's a baby bump or a pickle bump?
Just fat.
Yeah, yeah. She's just fat, right?
Maybe she had a couple jars of Vlasic. You don't know. Could be just had a big meal.
Whore.
No comment from MTV as of yet, but they're saying the photo shows she's certainly trying to hide something. Maybe they're going to try to pull it off. Maybe they'll film a season.
Without saying she's pregnant?
Well, they do it on sitcoms all the time they cut people in certain angles and things.
The only thing they want from her is to go out and drink and party and fight.
Every episode they go, I'm tired. Right. I'm going to sit down and watch television today. Come on, let's go, Snooks. No, I'm just...
It's not really going to work.
I'm going to knit. Yeah, that won't be good.
It does seem like all you have to do is keep eyes on her for about an hour, and if she's not drinking during that hour, she's probably pregnant.
Right. And the minute she gets as wide as she is tall, which will be about, month six, we're going to know. She starts looking like Violet Beauregard in Willy Wonka with the giant, giant blueberry rolling around. We're going to get some ideas. And Beyonce has upset some people because she was seen out for lunch in New York City last weekend with her husband, Jay-Z. They were having a lunch at a cafe in the West Village, and apparently it was time for a little Blue Ivy to eat. So mom breastfed the baby there at the table in public, and everyone's spinning out because they say it's wildly inappropriate to breastfeed in public.
Hey, when you get a second, stop looking at my boobs.
Some organs, such as your breasts, receive special attention.
Yes, they do. Listen, I get it.
She's Beyonce. She's one of the most beautiful women in the world.
But on top of it, she's a new mom with a baby who needs to eat.
Agreed.
However, that being said, if it does make some people uncomfortable, they did spend almost, $1.5 million to rent out the entire floor of the hospital where she had the baby. Couldn't they get a tent? Couldn't they hire a staff of people to build a tent around her every time the kid gets hungry, wherever they go?
They could.
Throw a tent over the table.
10 people, let's go.
They quickly erect a beautiful Arabian-style tent. She breastfeeds the baby, then they break it down real quick in time for coffee and dessert.
Around.
Yes, exactly. Wherever she goes, they just throw up this tent.
They sure could.
They could afford a staff. Just saying, it would avoid the whole problem.
Nice melons.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, let's go to my trivia question real quick before we get out of here. I think Emily on line 5 is our first winner. Emily?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Nina DeBrev, before she starred on The Vampire Diaries, was on what hit TV series?
Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Degrassi, The Next Generation. That's correct.
Nicely done.
Played Mia, the unwed teen mother on that show for a couple seasons. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend the evening with the cast and creators of The Vampire Diaries.
Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. And also, congratulations to Angie, who also knew the answer. A lot of girls watch that Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Sure.
Very popular Canadian show. You know, he was a freak for that show.
Yes.
My buddy Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Insane for
that show.
He was on it, wasn't he?
He was. He loved it so much, they actually put him on the show. Today's celebrity birthday is Roger Daltrey, 68. Alan Thicke, not only from Growing Pains, but the dad of music star Robin Thicke. He is 65 years old. Ron Howard turns 58 years old. Tim Daly's 56. Javier Bardem's 43. Jensen Ackles of Supernatural turns 34. Kesha is 25. Mark Paul Gosselaar, my buddy from NYPD Blue, and now can be seen on Franklin and Bash. He is 38 years old. And Justin Bieber, the Biebs, 18 years old today, finally gets his hand on all that filthy green money he's been making all these years. What's the, what was the number being you heard he's totaled so far in his career?
I hadn't heard about this at all. Lisa said it was over $100 million.
That's what
Lisa
I heard this morning, over $100 million.
$100 million finally at his disposal.
Can you imagine getting that much all at once?
That's an 18th birthday present.
Wow. It sure is.
Yeah. You know what I'd do? Open the first strip club in space. That's what I would do. I'd beat Playboy to the punch.
And hire
that
Glenda.
That isn't good for you.
Hire Glenda. Get her up on the pole.
You got to get her first.
Oh, Glenda's the hottest.
You get anyone.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Big Adam Carolla time on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Ace Man is one of the cast members for Celebrity Apprentice, airing Sunday nights at 9 on NBC. And you can see him in person doing his live podcast show on March 8th at the Irvine Improv at 8 o'clock. Get tickets and details at adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Time to get it on. By the way, I wanted to mention real quickly, Adam, and I wanted to thank you for your previous participation in the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. You're not doing it this year, I know, but have you heard about this phenomenal lineup we have?
Yes, I have.
Eddie Izzard, Jay Moore, Larry King. Now, listen to this. Eddie Izzard, Jay Moore, Larry King, Bob Saget, Jim Jefferies, Eddie Ift, Tim Minchin, Brad Williams, Felipe Esparza, all on one night on one stage at the Gibson Amphitheater April 7th. How about that?
Wow, I got to tell you, if the terrorists attack, it'll be the night comedy died. Therefore, America will have an ace in the hole. Adam Carolla wasn't on stage that night.
And USA! USA!
And it'll be my job to bring back comedy.
That's a pretty big job.
One smile at a time.
Well, K-Rock Street team members can buy their tickets in less than an hour. On sale this morning at 10 a.m. Get your details at krock.com. And again, this year we are benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU with the purchase of your tickets. But I just wanted to say thanks, Anna, because you you and Jimmy both were very instrumental in kind of getting the deal off the ground for us in years one, two, and three. And we couldn't thank you enough for that.
Well, I'm just sorry we couldn't come to terms on the pay. But anyway, God bless the Warriors.
Exactly. Time for This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working up to number one, I thought I'd dedicate it to the Oscars. This better late than never. Everyone's been, I'm sure, talking about that whole Emma Stone thing where she was wearing the stripper wedgies and Ben Stiller looked like a lap dog next to her. And I really, if he had jumped up, he could have worn her vagina like a yarmulke. But what? First off, she had a dress that covered her shoes. I understand when the ladies want to show off their legs and they want to show off the shoes. But if you're wearing a dress that's dragging on the ground, then you're just making Ben Stiller look like a dwarf. I don't get it. Somebody's got to work this up. And maybe when Dolph Lundgren wins his Lifetime Achievement Award.
I'm sorry, at the Oscars?
Yeah, he's due.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying next year, but I'm saying probably the year after
but
that.
But you're saying Dolph Lundgren.
Lifetime Achievement. I'm not saying for what, I'm saying for his body of work.
Not one performance.
When he's finally recognized for the thespian he is, then you get Emma out there in the stilts and give it to a 6'8 Dolph Lundgren. You don't do it to the guy who's already a dwarf. And I've just realized, you know what? Chicks could not add, Tammy, back me up. Chicks can add any height to the heel of the shoe anymore, so they started adding it to the front part where the ball of the foot is.
Yeah, the platform. You can add the platform, too.
Unfair.
Yeah.
Men grow about a half inch every 50 years. I mean, from an evolutionary standpoint,
right.
We cannot keep up with your whorish shoe.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point. It's not fair.
So eventually, you're just going to be ducking when you're walking through doorways. You're going to be carrying your purse. You'll be driving. If some thug jumps out, you'll have to fend them off because you're 12 feet tall. We're going to hide behind you.
Sounds like an easier life for us.
Maybe it is. I'm just saying, knock it off with the stilts. You're screwing with our self-esteem. Look, we die earlier. We pay twice as much for car insurance. Can't we be taller? That's all we have.
Good point.
All right. Number two, the best adapted screenplay. And I don't even, look, if you adapt it from a short story or a pamphlet or an article that was out of Mad Magazine or something, that's fine. But The Descendants won Best Adapted Screenplay. The Descendants is a 300-page book.
Right.
It's already three scripts. Everyone's name has been thought of. The locations have been thought of. The story's been thought of. The jokes have been thought of. It's done. and you have three guys going up on stage? How much? First off, isn't it just cutting and pasting? Like, when you're writing a screenplay and you're like, well, we got 300 pages, we got to whittle this down to 99. Let's start trimming.
I'm not an expert, but I think there's more to it than that.
No, it's cutting and pasting.
That's it.
Three guys. Look, here's the deal. If I'm the Oscars, I get rid of best adapted screenplay if whatever you adapted it to already had more than 100 pages.
Okay.
But I certainly don't have three Oscars for your ass. It's this. We got one Oscar. You three jackoffs can fight it out. Figure out who went on the most lunch runs and who sat at the computer. Whoever sat at the computer, that's the dude who get it. The guy went to Kookaroo, he doesn't get squat.
Well,
got three. What if eight guys adapted a screenplay?
They all would get the Oscar, I guess, by the rules. I think so.
You know what? You're going to make Dolph's Oscar worth less. You understand?
Yeah, we don't want that.
Eventually, when Dolph gets his and one of those three yahoos pulls out theirs and no one's heard of them, it's going to make Dolph's Oscar seem like less of an achievement.
I can see that.
I tend to agree with Kevin on this, that I think it's more complicated than that. But then you're the guy who's actually written a movie,
yeah.
So this I think we have to defer to you on this one.
The complicated part is thinking of the movie.
Right, so if you start with a book with all the details, not so hard.
Not so hard.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And number one, Billy Crystal, great job. Let's just give it to him and let somebody take it from him. You know what I mean? He'll be, and listen, all you young snots are like, oh, who's Billy Crystal? We had to suffer through Bob Hope. We didn't know who he was. I thought he owned a Texaco station and played professional golf. But it doesn't matter. That's his job. That's what he does. You
right.
want some security. You want Santa Claus in there. You don't want a round robin of young stone dudes coming through there every 10 minutes. So let him have that. But I will say this. At some point, somewhere, I don't know, what's Billy, 63, 65?
Gotta be,
about
yeah.
that, yeah.
At
yeah.
some point, Billy, you have to admit to having a gray hair, right? Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little around the temples.
Not yet.
Just enough to make us believe. I mean, look at Clooney. He's got a nice head of gray hair. Seems to be doing fine in the poontang department.
Yeah, I'd say he's doing all right.
Billy, let the little gray go around the temples. And all guys who dye your hair, I'll give you the same advice I give to women who fake orgasms. Every between 9th and 13th, hold one back. It'll make us believe.
Okay. Good advice. Good advice.
Tell them you're watching Oprah and you saw that chick a guy with a monkey tore her face off and you just can't feel it. You're just not into it tonight. It'll make us believe. Show us a little gray around the temple. We'll believe you're not dyeing your hair. You go all black. That's it.
All right.
I think that's an excellent point. See Adam Carolla on stage at the Irvine Improv 8 o'clock on March 8th for his live podcast and keep up with all of his great podcasts. Good week of guests, by the way. Mark Maron on today's show. You had Mr. Skin yesterday. Really good stuff. Artie Lang early in the week. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all that. Thanks, Ace Man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Like.
You know, we haven't mentioned it enough because we're bad. Nice work.
Thank you.
We haven't mentioned this because we're bad, is that if you buy tickets for April Foolishness, here's what we haven't mentioned. We haven't mentioned that there's a section right up front that's the We're Better Than You section.
Oh, we forgot about the We're Better Than You's.
That's normally the pit, but you're going to sit there and you're going to get T-shirts that say We're Better Than You on the back so the people behind you can read it and says We're Better Than You.
It's just the truth.
Then there's an hour-long reception with us, the Kevin and Bean Show, We're Better Than You T-shirt, and you get to sit right up front and you get parking backstage.
How do we not mention that? That's a great deal. It's a little bit extra, right?
It's a little bit more. Any of the paperwork that they gave us. That's
a little
why.
Bit more.
None of us remember.
You do get, as Kevin mentioned, parking backstage, which is, trust me,
worth a loan.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then you get to meet us, which, all right, not everything's
not
great
so
in the
good.
Package, but you do get to sit down front, and you do get to lord the fact that you're in front of everyone.
We expect you to put on the T-shirt that says We're Better Than You. You can buy them in 15 minutes at 10 o'clock this morning here at... not a K-Rock at Ticketmaster.
Nope. Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And that is that's the premium most expensive ticket. Even that's under $100, by the way. And then you got your orchestra seats, low seats, and the cheap seats are only $25 again this year because we're trying to make this show so that everybody can go. And all the proceeds, as you know, go to our great charities this year, to the Cedars-Sinai NICU and Wounded Warrior Project. It will sell out, though. K-Rock Street Team members, 10 o'clock this morning, buy tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012.
And thanks to all the comedians, by the way, because they're not getting paid. This is for charity.
Donating their time.
This is for charity, so that you know, so that we can.
I still can't believe Eddie Izzard's doing our show. I still can't wrap my head around
it. I know, it's bizarre. It is weird. I know.
He's like an international comedy star.
It's. I know, it's odd. When we asked him, we were like, yeah, I guess we might as well. What do we have to lose? And then we just figured he'd say no and move on.
I'm such a huge fan. I'm going to make a drunken ass of myself backstage. Right now.
Really?
Because he'll probably go on towards the end of the show, and I will be, you know, 14 Jack and sodas in by that point.
Good.
And I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm just going to be just a blabbering
fool. Who was it last year? Was it Muggs last year? Who was it that was in Joe Rogan's face a couple years ago? Omar was blasted. I love you, man. Everything you do. He was, like, talking too close.
And John Hamm came to the show a couple years ago, and I cornered him backstage, and he couldn't get away from me.
You were a little. Inebriated.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I made an ass of myself.
Yeah.
So I'm fully predictable.
It's going to be fun. April 7th, Gibson Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. Ralph is here now with our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Snooki still denying she's pregnant.
Good.
Now the New York Post has picked up the story, and they say out now that she lied when she denied pregnancy rumors. MTV is apparently in crisis mode because they are still filming that series with J-Well and her, the spinoff in Jersey City, and photos from the set show Snooki obviously carrying large bags to hide her belly. I think they think they can get one past us. I think they think they're able to fool us.
That doesn't seem like a very good show for a pregnant woman to be on.
No. No, because it just takes one J-Well left hook to the belly to end that pregnancy. You know what I'm saying?
That's not what you want on TV.
You don't.
Maybe, Ralph, you were on to something earlier when you were saying that MTV may be trying to hide it so they get the maximum value out of it when the show's on the air so they can get some ratings out of it. Maybe they're telling Snooki, hey, keep this under wraps. Don't admit to being pregnant because we want it to be our thing.
Maybe they'll do a special pregnancy episode and have everyone tune in. Although Us Weekly Magazine apparently has the story rights for a magazine, so I'm sure they're planning some sort of publicity blitz regarding this Leviathan that is hatching inside of her. This
baby's come out of the butt, right?
Incubus or succubus that is currently being gestated in her womb. This evil creature, spawn of hell, that will eventually come out to rule the world as the underlord of Hades.
What if it was the Antichrist for real?
How could it not be the Antichrist is what I'm asking.
That'd be awesome.
Snooki, first of all, six letters in Snooki.
Oh, interesting.
Good.
Is there six letters in Snooki?
I think so.
Okay, six! Six letters. Snooki, 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 666. That's all I'm saying. Little Ann! On this morning's Today Show with Matt Lauer to talk about the fact that she's clean and sober and getting her nose back to the grindstone. Because the grindstone's where she keeps all her blow. So she's getting her nose back there. She'll be hosting Saturday Night Live, of course, this weekend. NBC claims it's going to be Lynn's Sanity because Lindsay is going to be hosting it. So,
see the play on words there?
Yeah. I'm surprised they're still rocking the Linsanity comedy after all this time. I'm surprised we don't have that on our t-shirts for the comedy show. We like to be on top of things after they've already passed. Leonard Nimoy's returning to acting. He said he had retired, but he's coming out of retirement at least for one more gig. He's going to be appearing on The Big Bang Theory, which is wildly appropriate because Jim Parsons' character, Sheldon, is a, let's say Spock is to Sheldon what Adam West is to me, pretty much.
Oh, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
In the 100th episode, Sheldon finally got a lifelong dream of his, which is to have a life-size cardboard cutout of Mr. Spock that he could put in his room. But it turns out he was horrified when it was the Zachary Quinto version from the Star Trek reboot, not Leonard Nimoy. So they'll be addressing that on March 29th when Nimoy comes on the show and makes a small appearance. That'll be fun.
Not like it would make them dickheads.
Oh, my goodness.
Good point.
Leonard.
That is a good point.
I miss him from Fringe. Remember when he was William Bell and there was Belly on that show?
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
He's in his 80s now, right, Mr. Nimoy?
I think so.
Yeah.
Shatner is.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Shatner's in his early 80s. I think they're about the same age. Dane Cook, Bean, you'll be happy to know, he's got a new TV series coming to NBC.
What was that?
It's called The Next Caller, Please.
I'm torn here because you know how much I love radio.
Yeah,
and it's a show where he's playing a radio talk show host, right? But then you know how much I hate Dane Cook.
How do you reconcile?
That's a tough one.
He'll play a co-host of a satellite radio talk show. He has got a female co-host, and the two of them, they sure go at it.
Is that their catchphrase? Next caller, please.
Next caller, please.
How is he? He's a horrible comedian, and I'm sure a bad person, but how is he as an actor? Has anyone seen him in any of his movies?
Not good. Not
he's
good.
Not a good actor.
My wife was watching that god-awful thing he did about Good Luck Chuck or Next Time Chuck or whatever. He was like a woman who always, whoever he dates gets married right after him. He's like the one that drives them into the arms of their husband.
Right.
And he was in that, and he's horrible.
Did he say, next caller, please?
He didn't, but that, that's the catchphrase. If I was NBC, I'd say, next pilot, please. But no, apparently they're going forward. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Justin Bieber's 18 years old today.
Boo!
All right.
Mug is an army of one.
He came alive.
Where's the outrage there?
I'm with
there
him.
It is.
Right I wish
there.
I had booed as well.
He's a rich, rich man today, fellas. You might want to cozy up to the Biebs. Get on his good side. Maybe he'll buy you a Batmobile, whatever he's giving out today. Mark Paul Gosselaar from NYPD Blue and Franklin Abash. Of course, we originally got to know him on Saved by the Bell. 38 years old today. Kesha, 25. Jensen Ackles from Supernatural is 34. Javier Bardem.
That's right, friendo.
Where's he been? I haven't seen Javi in a while.
He was in a foreign film a year ago or so, wasn't he? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe he was in a home Spanish polishing speaking. His Oscar. Forget my meaning.
How dare you, sir.
I don't know what you mean.
He's a good actor. Miss him. 43 years old today. Tim Daly's 56. Ron Howard. Actor, director, producer. By all accounts, one of the nicest guys in show business, too.
Seems like it.
58 years old. Alan Thicke. He was on Growing Pains and also the dad of Robin Thicke. He's 65. And Roger Daltrey, frontman for the legendary band The Who. Remember when they did the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was not good. Well, they're not even The Who anymore.
No.
There's only two of them left out of the original four. They should be called themselves Who's Left. Not The Who. He is 68 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
Hey, before hey. You talk about tomorrow, real quick.
Oh,
Ralph,
I forgot. I got stuff to give away. Oh,
do you mind gosh. If we just do that real fast?
No, my bad. Paley Fest 2012 is going on this March. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away for Two and a Half Men. Evening Yay! With Two and a Half Men. You get to meet the cast and creators of that show. The cast now. The current cast.
Right.
You get to meet. Although, if you're in the back alley and you're looking to score, you may find the entire cast from previous seasons also back there. If you'd like to attend the Two and a Half Men show with the Paley Festival, let's take callers number 12 and 13 right now. 1-800-520-1067. Callers 12 and 13 will get a pair of passes to attend the evening with Two and a Half Men.
That's not me.
With the... the Paley Fest people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have comedian Doug Benson in the studio.
Nice.
He's always holding, so that's good. We got LaQuisha on Jersey Shore. We have April Foolishness tickets. We have Movie Beat. We have a brand new Internet Roundup. It's going to be a great show tomorrow morning on an all new.